All you have to do
shittiest
is
movie I've ever seen.
Oh, Eat, Pray, Love?
It's not even on there.
Pelican Brief.
Oh, Pelican Brief is pretty good. Do you like?
Any... Yeah.
You're a Julia Roberts fan.
I am a Julia Roberts what's and the a Denzel
second,
fan.
What's the second movie that comes to mind? Just think...
The Lion King, but only because you said
Disney
King.
Plus. Disney.
We do have Lion King. That's perfect. That'll work.
I have a question. I wonder how many dudes have subscribed to Disney Plus just so they... Because they think it's going to get them laid.
Probably a lot.
I just did it because it came for free.
Oh, I don't think it's going to get me laid. I just, like, there's a lot of shit on here that I like.
You're in a relationship. You got a head start.
National Geographic, Star Wars.
I didn't realize it had that much. I thought it was just...
I don't know how old you guys are, but when kids were about fucking in high school, Nemo came out.
It's a fan to top. Yeah.
Finding Nemo came out, and it was like a low key. If a girl asked you to go come over and watch Nemo, that meant you were getting laid. That was like Netflix and chill, like the start of like when I was growing up.
Finding Nemo, aka finding the clitoris.
Yeah.
It's still never been found.
Still, nobody was finding the clitoris.
Finding Swatto.
Nobody found the clitoris, but we found
nobody
Nemo.
Just keep swimming. just keep swimming. Welcome to the show. We're back. We made it back.
Hey, I'm Travis.
I am your host, Scott, with co-host Travis here. This week, we have an incredibly funny person, one of my favorite people from Phoenix. Probably it's because that's I only know like five people. When I meet six people,
is this where I'm douchey and go, "Oh, I'm from Scottsdale."
Yeah, oh, Scottsdale. Okay, you're out. Okay, I got to meet one more person because my friend's limit is five, and when I meet six, you're out for sure.
Oh,
yeah. You're
so
the first
I'm one of the funniest people you've ever met, but I'm low on the totem pole.
Well, because the rest of them are all really funny too.
Ooh, okay, all right, I see that.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we have my friend Rachel Flynn. Many nicknames, many talents. A lot of times I call her Red. I don't know if you do like that or not. Do you like Red? What do you like?
It's just so original considering I have red hair. I've actually never heard that before. So
I know.
It's very distinct to you.
Yeah, that's true. But I called you kiddo one time and you almost murdered me.
Well, that's because,
so,
well,
I've just been going
generic. I'll
save
that. I'll save that.
Well, yeah, I told her that.
Turns out I'm not.
You don't like calling Scott daddy?
No, I feel that that's strange. I've actually dealt with my daddy issues and we've moved on. So at this stage in my life, I'm not interested in calling anyone daddy.
I told her that I called Magoosh kiddo and she was like, "Whoa, stop." She's like, "I already fucking told you that you can't." So we are here this week with Rachel Flynn. She is from the Phoenix area. Well, do you consider yourself from here now, or do you still tell people you're from Boston?
So, I'm blatantly not from here. I mean, you just have to talk to me for 3 seconds after a beer. But
I'm not either.
But I now call Arizona home.
But as do we. Do you consider...
No, I don't consider it.
You don't
I
tell
kinda
people
don't
you're
have
from
any
here.
Place, yeah.
What do you tell people?
Eastern Washington.
Okay.
Gross. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, a lot of times I say Chicago.
That's very specific. Why?
Because it's like the coolest place that I am as part of my life. North Carolina.
You're wearing flannel. No one believes you.
This is not flannel.
You're straight from the South.
First of all, false. This is. Do you consider this flannel?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, thank you.
Because of why? Tell me why. Both.
He's
going
to call it gingham, which says to you that he is from the South.
No, I'm not going to call it gingham. I don't even know what fucking gingham is. I've never even heard that in my life. But what I was going to say is it's not flannel because flannel is a material. And this is for sure not flannel material. This is just like a button down from J. Crew.
With red and black checkered pattern.
All right. So,
got it. Heard.
We've already
Roger
railroaded
that.
This podcast. So we met, we've known each other not that long, I guess I would say less than a year for sure, right?
I mean, I've only been here for a year, so
yeah, okay.
That's fair.
What an asshole. But which brings me to that point, like, this is why we became such good friends, because we have incredible taste and terrible humor. We quickly bonded over margaritas, I think. Would you consider that correct?
I would.
And a lot of shit talking. And I just overall enjoy your personality. And I think that's why we've become such good friends. And I thought that you would be a great person to have on the show, because we also both have terrible sense of humor, I think. And I'm also interested in your story, because you are another transient person that's come here from not local, as most of us.
Beantown, baby.
Beantown. So tell me a little bit about that, because I've got some interesting connections to Boston. I have, for like weird reasons, which I'm sure I'll talk about at some point, the Red Sox are my baseball team. But tell me about growing up. What's it like growing up in Boston?
I'm just kidding. I forgot podcasts. You can't actually see my facial expressions. I love Boston. I actually love it as a city. I'm much warmer now, but in general, it's a really good city.
You're warmer since moving here?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
Why do you think that is?
Because the temperature.
Oh, literally.
We're literally warmer.
Fucking warmer.
We're fucking way warmer. No, but Boston is a cool city, though. You've obviously been, but if you've never been, there's a lot of history, a lot of sports.
Did you grow up in the burbs? Were you like city proper or burbs?
So I was like 45 minutes south of the city. So real, real white, real preppy. Like, my high school had a sailing team. So
let me
just
like
put that in perspective for you.
Sailing team. That sounds like some rich shit.
It's some.
She doesn't have the horrible accent that comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. But if you guys want to go for a fucking lobster roll later, we can go. Okay.
You know what? That's one of the things. I think lobster is probably one of the few things I would be afraid to get in this town.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't. No.
I probably wouldn't. I don't think I'm afraid of anything anymore, because there's probably enough people from Boston or from like New England or from the Pacific Northwest that live here that know good lobster and maybe start a restaurant here.
Yeah, but where?
Yeah, but you still got to have it fucking shipped, okay? It's not from the sea. You know, you got that one day. Everybody talks about Buck and Ryder being so great because they label it on their menu where it's shipped in from daily.
Right.
But like, I'm going to be a snob. Where I grew up was like right on the ocean. So a lot of kids I graduated high school with are commercial fishermen, and they go out, they get it, and it's that, like, you buy your fish at the fish market. You don't buy it at the grocery store.
Right.
Well,
again, my white is showing. Yeah. I know that. I'm just saying.
Well, so I'll say this though, because I didn't grow up on the coast, but we had this guy in my town that he bought. There was an old gas station, and he was like an attorney or something. He had some like big white collar job. And one day he was in the Baltimore area, I believe. And the story goes, like, he had one of the best crabs he'd ever had in his life. And he essentially, like, 3 months later, he was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this job anymore. I'm going to go open up a fish market. So he came back to our hometown, bought a gas station, Citgo. Do you know Citgo? Have you ever heard of Citgo? Do they still have Citgo anywhere? We don't have it in the South.
I don't think so.
I think there's one in Fenway. Like, near Fenway, there's a Citgo. Yeah. There's a Citgo sign. Whether it's actually, it's a very famous sign.
Yeah, they like spin.
Yeah, yeah. But I actually can't recall if there's a gas station attached to it, if it's just the sign, because it's nostalgic.
Well, because those signs are they're like super rare nowadays.
Yeah.
If you're from the South, they call it the Citgo. Like, we're going to go on down to the Citgo and get some ice cream and a Coke.
Well, hot damn.
They say Citgo. But so this guy bought like an old Citgo station, and we're about 4 hours from the coast, and he was like, I'm going to have to buy a plane. So he bought a fucking airplane, and like 3 times a week, he would fly down the coast, buy all of his seafood, fly back to Hickory. And that's like how he ran his fish market. for like the. Isn't that crazy?
That's. I mean, it's the only way.
Yeah.
That's what you had to do.
I'm not saying that compares to your to the markets you guys grew up with, because it's probably. You guys grew up with like way cooler shit, but like, that's how I know seafood. Okay, so all your friends worked on.
Yeah, that's just a. I mean, that's just a trade. It's a popular trade. Commercial fishing.
Did you ever think about doing that? Is it, how far are you from?
Well, we did an annual like deep sea fishing trip every year. Yeah. Like as a family, we'd go to the Westport and like go fishing for halibut or lincod or whatever. But no,
never tried really your hand at the actual like.
Well, when you usually get drunk before you go out on the boat, and then I'm throwing up most of the time I'm on the boat, so it's
yeah.
Until my stomach's completely evacuated, it's a pretty rough experience for me every time.
I thought about doing that for a while. Like after high school, I didn't really have much direction. I was like, I might go, you know, I could work on a fishing boat.
And then, I hear they really like tilapia in the south.
Yeah. Shrimps. So
fishing at the bottom.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't do that.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, probably because it's definitely for the best. So what you, where'd you go to school at? Tell me where you went to school.
So I went to high school in the town, Scituate. And then I went to UMass Boston.
Yep.
And then I lived in the city for a little while, bought my house. Well, both homes were like right outside of the city in the suburbs. And then when I sold those, I lived downtown for a little while before I moved here.
What was it like living downtown Boston? Because downtown is, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call it the greatest downtown in the country.
Well, Back Bay. So I like where the Prudential Center is.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the city life. Like, I like being able to walk everywhere. I like having everything. I never pulled my car out of the garage. I enjoyed that part of it for sure.
And come wintertime, it's everywhere.
I'm sorry.
So now you have to drive everywhere.
Yeah, that was an adjustment a little bit, but
the history on the East Coast too is way more has way more depth to it than we do over here. Correct?
Yeah, like I would say that I miss like brick buildings, which is stupid, but just
you still have like cobblestone streets and stuff.
Yeah, like
crazy
the architecture, history. It has a very like city, like Scottsdale, Phoenix doesn't have like a city vibe to me.
Yeah, but I would say
lacking
the
that
difference
a little
is
bit,
that but. I love because I love the architecture out here because it's so we don't have the buildings like our city is not, but the houses are fucking awesome.
The houses
we have like
the,
these amazing mid-century
modern
houses, that are really cool. They're probably one of my favorite things about this town is that you can go. The only thing I think you can't really find here is that straight-up colonial style.
Yeah, well, nobody, I mean.
People love it. Hey,
I
listen,
know. So in New England, they love it. I never loved it. My house was, like, ranch, all renovated, you know, more along that mid-century modern, all open. And my neighbors behind me, we put them on the market exact same time. They got way more money. And theirs was that sort of colonial, like, multi-level state, you know, the whole thing. People love it.
People love that shit.
People love it.
I am pretty staunchly against like a multi-level house.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like having everybody, I like open concept. I like having everybody in the same space. I don't know. I like efficiency too. I mean, I guess you could argue that building up is efficient. This is a stupid conversation. But my dream here, though, is
our realtor is coming in next.
Next podcast is a realtor to tell me how stupid I am. I have a dream out here, though, of buying. I want to buy like one of those old mid-century houses, and I don't remember. So this week's movie is
National Treasure. With Nicolas Cage. It's some of his best acting ever, for sure.
Does he actually have best acting? I feel like
I'm being pretty facetious, but if there ever was a chance for him to get an Oscar, this would have been it for sure.
No, actually, I heard though. I was listening to another podcast, and it was I don't know if it was Dax's podcast or Conan's, maybe, but they were talking about the difference between diverse actors and iconic, what they called iconic actors. And but the interesting thing about it was they didn't mean iconic in the way of, like, you know, like they are super famous just for being what they meant. Iconic in the fact that they, no matter what movie they're in, they just basically play the same person. So like Sean Connery, Tom Cruise, and Nick Cage is very much, they start talking about him and how when he came to the 80s, he was the first person to kind of like do his personality and his like type voice, and then nobody ever did it since.
Who's that guy that's always like, the guy, I'm tired of these snakes on this motherfucking plane?
Sam Jackson.
Yeah, Sam Jackson. Same
I'm
guy.
Tired of these
Sam,
motherfucking
right?
snakes on these motherfucking planes.
Yeah.
All right, Samuel Jackson, though, has a, I mean, he has an iconic voice, but he's.
He's iconic.
He's the same person in every movie.
Yeah, but he has a little bit more quality act. There's just a little bit more quality.
You're right. I would say then, are we talking the Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say maybe they're on the same level of iconicness, but like Samuel L. Jackson has talent in some areas. Nicolas Cage is the most untalented human that exists.
Well, see, that's
movies.
The argument.
That's why people love it. He's known for having no talent.
Yeah, he's like the used car salesman of actors.
He's the Paris Hilton of actors. Well, he has no talents, but everybody knows him and loves him.
Okay, so let me be devil's advocate here.
No. He gets me pumped for this movie. I get bought in. Like he's selling me a 96 Toyota Camry with 400,000 miles on it, but I want to buy it.
That's the point.
That
the
car
point
still runs, that, okay?
He's getting me hyped about it because he's like telling me how American it is.
But the point
is, this thing's Japanese. What the hell?
The point is that's the skill in itself, that he knows that about himself, that he does that, and you still come out being like, wow. Like, I would watch a Nick... there's all kind of Nick Cage movies I would watch.
I've watched National Treasure a bunch, and every time I'm done, a lot of me wants to go hunt for treasure.
Oh, yeah.
And then
thanks, Nick Cage.
Yeah, and then I'm like, damn it. Well, yeah. This isn't a movie. I need to grow up. I'm not going to go hunt treasure.
What about you? Who's your...
See, I would say if I was going to hunt treasure, like Pirates of the Caribbean would do that for me, because at least there's a little bit more talent
and
acting
involved. Yeah, but Johnny Depp found treasure and fucking spent it all, and now he's broke. Nick Cage still making movies. Maybe it's shitty movies, but...
What's that movie he made with the mask or the face?
Face Off.
Face Off.
Face Off. For the love of God, come on. That was poor.
I love that movie.
Phenomenal movie.
Oh, of course. I'm outnumbered.
That's actually a tough movie to act, because you have to like still be you and then pretend you're John Travolta. Like, you have to take over his mannerisms.
Yes,
and he does a good job of it.
Oh, you know what? I take everything back. He's super talented.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep. In that movie, when
forget everything I just said.
I saw he went from like, that was the first time. Okay, so because he's so good at playing the heel, like a shitty person, he had to be the good person in the beginning, but
then
be himself as John Travolta, because all he's good at is being the villain.
I think that movie should have won an Oscar. I don't even think he got nominated.
Yeah, I know. That actually was a good movie. I've watched it a lot.
There was another one. What was another one around that time that came out? It also had Travolta in it.
The opening scene is him fondling like a church choir girl while she's singing. And he's like the priest.
Because he's a priest. He's playing the priest. Yeah,
he's playing the priest
in
that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I would watch a Nick Cage movie. I don't hate them. They're not the worst. There are worse. Who's worse? Somebody's got to be worse.
You could make the Kevin Costner argument, but...
Whoa!
What?
Worse?
What?
No.
Give me a movie.
Not worse, but I...
He's got awards up there.
Kevin Costner, this is the thing. She does... I don't think
she's
like...
She's not watching
iconic
Westerns.
Actors.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner, also iconic. Harrison Ford, iconic.
I agree. I believe that those two have more talent than Nicolas Cage.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, we're not arguing that.
I actually...
We're arguing
their
role in
the movie. It's not a great movie, but the one about the Coast Guard, I still watch every time it's on.
Oh, with Kevin Costner.
With Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
The Guardian. Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes those kind of movies.
Ashton Kutcher is the worst actor ever. Like, have you seen him on the ranch trying to talk like he's like a hick or whatever? Like, it's bad, dude. It's so bad.
Yeah. He's probably. I would say he's probably worse than Nick Cage.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say he's like one of the dweebiest guys out there.
Sorry, Ashton. We don't mean to offend you. We know you're not listening anyway, though, so it doesn't matter.
he's not? I mean, I feel like we were really going to hit it big with this.
He's better at investing than... Like, he's a stud at investing and everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. maybe I just don't like him. You just don't like certain people. I loved him in that 70s show, though. I mean,
He's a TV actor. I mean, he's not an actor movie.
In that 70s show.
Yeah, so then I love him.
He was like just, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like when he's trying to be a great swimmer in the movie The Guardian, I guess.
You know who is great that I also was just listening to a podcast on was Michael Pena. Michael Pena is fucking awesome.
Yeah, and he's almost never getting like a lead role. He's always like a supporting guy.
That's because he's fucking Mexican, man.
Right?
Whoa, he was great in Shooter.
No, it's true. Yeah. It's true. No, he was talking about these casting. He talked about like casting calls and about how his agent would go to these reads and he would put in. He'd be like, man, I could really do this and I can own it. And then he'd be in the read and he'd like kill it. Like fucking kill it. And they'd be like,
no me gusta.
But we're really looking for a Caucasian actor for this one.
Oh.
And so he talked about that, how like it was so much harder for him to kind of make that jump. But now that he's kind of gotten there, because he did this. Did you guys see shit?
Besides kitchen, back of the house restaurants, is anyone really looking for a Mexican though?
That's true, because think of Marvel. They've hit checked every box. Black female superhero, black superhero, white superhero, white female superhero.
What's he play? He's a Marvel. He's in the Marvel.
Name one Hispanic superhero.
Yeah, yeah. But I think we're getting there. Like he talked about with, for him, Crash was his breakout. Do you guys remember Crash?
I never saw it.
With Matt Dillon and
Sandra Bullock. Is that Sandra Bullock in that?
No.
Nope.
I think you're thinking of Speed.
But he's talking about like now with Narcos, like people with Netflix.
What a movie that was, Speed. Can we talk about that for a second?
You want to talk about Speed,
dude? Haven't not being able to slow that bus down like under a certain mile per hour.
Yeah, what was it like 88 or something?
No, I think it was like 55.
Was it 55? Oh, 88 was Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. That was get that.
Are you more? If you could choose one for the rest of your life, are you choosing Sandra or Keanu?
No, Sandra Bullock was in Crash.
Was she?
Yes. Characters include a district attorney, Brendan Fraser, and his casually... That makes no sense. His wife, Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah, because she gets felt
dating
up.
Dating police detectives Don Cheadle and Jennifer Esposito.
That sounds like a great movie. Maybe we should watch that.
Humiliated by a racist traffic cop, Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon, I remember.
You know, for somebody who's never seen this shit, I was spot on.
You've probably seen it.
I like Sandra Bullock, though, even in Miss Congeniality.
You choose Sandra over Keanu?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I think Keanu's probably one.
Sandra Bullock is my girl.
Is she? Call her up.
If only I could.
She's busy tonight.
She had plans what's your go-to movie when you were sick, home from school? Because Miss Congeniality was mine. Yes, I just openly admitted
Ferris
that.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, cliche. Get over it. Go
16 Candles.
You're how old are you?
That stuff was just playing on TV. I don't know.
Okay.
We didn't have any movie channels. I was like stuck with Price is Right.
PIR. It's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've been a diehard Sandra fan for a while.
Sandy fan.
Me too. Oh, I had a huge crush on her.
Yeah, but would you take Sandy over Keanu? Though?
No.
Yeah, no way.
Because every dude likes Sandy. John Wick.
No, I'm committed way before that.
The Matrix?
I grew up on,
Before that. I'm in it like Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Who didn't want to like wake up at like... Who didn't wake up at 3:30 in the morning as a teenager all the time? Or in the afternoon because you're sleeping in because you're being a piece of shit. And then all of a sudden you have special powers.
Yeah.
That's the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, the Matrix.
Like, wait, I'm not just some normal guy that can barely make bills.
Don't get me wrong. Special. I do love John Wick.
They bought into a lot of people.
For sure.
Every dude. I have not met a man that's like, John Wick sucked.
There's a couple in this building. I went to see John Wick 3 with them. And they were like, meh, not my favorite. I was like, all right.
His weapon training and his ability to, like, actually move, like, he knows what he's doing, like, with military tactics and, like, look like he...
Yeah, fucking phenomenal.
He doesn't look like an idiot. He looks like he knows what he's doing. It looks nice.
It looks nice.
He takes it seriously, because you watch some movies where a guy's, like, rounding a corner with a pistol, like, he's going to clear the room, and he looks like a complete... Like, he's doing it completely backwards.
Right.
How you're supposed to
do. Well, it's because he spent... I mean, he took the... Like you say, he took the training series.
Right.
Another one that did that was... Gosling on the movie Drive. Do you ever see that movie?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, he spent like 6 months just training with some of the drift drivers to learn how to drive. And the interesting thing is when he was doing his press tour and they would not like the TV interviews, but when he would go in his interviews, he'd be like, yeah, come down and meet me here, and we'll go and we'll have our interview. And he would have, like, if you were a journalist, he would have you come meet him at this coffee house. And at the time, Chevy had given him, like, a brand new Corvette to learn how to drive. And he basically had this license to, like, do whatever the fuck he wanted in a car, at least from what I know, for, like, a year around New York, in and around New York City. And so he would take all these journalists for a drive in this car, and he'd take them to the outskirts of the city, and he'd be like, I'm gonna show you guys some of the stuff I did. So he would like take them and just pretty much scare the shit out of them, like throwing this Corvette sideways and backwards and doing like J turns, and that was it. Like that was your hour and a half or 2 hours with Ryan Gosling was in this Corvette that Chevy had given him to.
My favorite scene in that movie is when he like Standard, the Hispanic guy that comes back from jail, and then he's in trouble with those guys.
Yeah.
He sees the two like knuckleheads in the parking garage, and he parks the car while he's staring at him without ever looking where he's parking the car.
Oh yeah,
it's like a really cool scene. Yeah. And
that's a great movie.
And then obviously when he stomps the dude's head into mashed potatoes in the elevator,
yeah,
that's a pretty cool scene too.
So what we learned is over. Either Sandy or Keanu were taking Ryan Gosling. Basically.
I'm glad we figured that out.
That's what we figured out. So great.
He was still a liability in Remember the Titans, so I'm not taking him.
Who was he? Sunshine? Was that his name?
No.
What was his name? Remember the Titans.
Ryan Gosling was in Remember the Titans?
Was it? No, it wasn't him. Wasn't it?
No, Ryan Gosling was in Remember the Titans.
Was he?
An absolute liability. Yes. Sunshine is somebody different. I don't know who Sunshine is.
Sunshine's the quarterback from California.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the long hair.
Yeah.
Looks like Jake.
Yeah.
Jake from downstairs.
Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State Farm. I'm wearing khakis.
I actually am wearing khakis.
I can't. Neither.
Also J. Crew. Also J. Crew. I'm like a J. Crew ad today.
Scott from State Farm.
Yep. Scott from State Farm. Okay. So. After college, we've had a lot of conversations about this, and I think this is a great subject to get into. Maybe there's a better segue from Ryan Gosling. But you tell us about the industry that you work in.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love this question.
Yeah, let's go.
So I went to college pre-med. That was the goal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know why I thought this way, but I was like, I don't want to live in the dorms. I want to work full time. I want to pay for it. I don't want to be in student debt. Like what 18-year-old thinks about that, I don't know, but I was one of those people. So I opted to get a business degree, work full time, and I was going to pay for school and be done. And then if I wanted to go to medical school after the fact, I would.
Right.
And then after I graduated, I found medical sales and I was like, this is, you know, the best of both worlds. And it's called the Good Old Boys Club.
The Good Old Boys Club.
The Good Old Boys Club. I love it. I hate it. I love it some more. Right now I hate it. But I'm hoping that I love it again. Someday. But I've been in it for 10 years. So,
Good Old Boys Club kind of, I get kind of a gross feeling when you say it that way. Like it's, there's some shadiness to it when you said that.
Not shady, but,
maybe mobster-ish?
No. More like
when I hear Good Old Boys, I think not a good thing.
Yeah, no, I could see where you would say that. When I say Good Old Boys Club, I mean more like, it's a male-dominated industry.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, it's all who you know. It's a lot of, you know, especially when you get to management where I'm at, it's a lot of, you know, older males.
Right.
They kind of run the show.
So why did you, go ahead.
A little bit of, you know, locker room talk, you know, it's run by men. Right. You are running a company's industry sales. Well, you're doing it all.
There's Abe again. He loves fucking making noises, dude.
He wants to be part of the podcast.
Yeah, he does.
He just wants to communicate.
He's our special guest.
Last time we got about halfway through and he was over here just crunching on a bone.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I think I'd take the bone over the squeak. Love you,
Why
bro.
Did you choose? Did you know it was going to be that way when you chose it? Or did you just, what was it?
I mean,
it?
I guess I didn't care. I truthfully didn't care then. I don't necessarily care now. It is what it is.
What was it that attracted you to the industry?
That I loved being in the operating room. So I spent a lot of, I mean, I still, 10 years later, like still spend quite a bit of time in the operating room. And if it was, for me, it was, I was never going to be able to get my hands on patients. Like, at least I can get pretty damn close.
Well, so you still, it seems a little bit like you still think about med school. What was it that really stopped you from going there?
I became pretty successful fairly early. And it was, again, back to that debt thing. Like, I don't want to put myself in student debt that I didn't have when I graduated from undergrad. That I was like, I just, you know, I'm making good money. Why go back to make maybe a little bit more and be in debt?
Well, and the reason I ask is because I had a point in my career where I... Maybe I was a little bit different because I did go... I thought I wanted to be an attorney, and then I went to law school and decided I definitely did not want to be an attorney. But I guess I'm asking because I hit this point in my life where I decided that there were lots of other things I wanted to go and do with my life, but... maybe a good happy medium was to find something that I didn't always love all the time doing, but I was just really good at it, and I could do that at my day job, and then go do these other things that I had fun at. Because I think, did we talk about that last time about how anything, I've talked to a few people, I feel like this in the last few weeks, about how anything becomes a job. And I've got, you know, we did talk about this last week about how if we could go, or if, you know, if I could go racing every day or every weekend, would I? Probably so. But there's also the rebuttal of, well, if I do anything, even the thing I love the most, like at a certain point it becomes a job. And that's part of what I appreciate about what I do now is even on the days where I'm like, well, this kind of sucks. It's also like, you know what? That's okay. Cause this is not, it's not my favorite thing.
It's your job.
It's my job. And it allows me to go do the other things that are my favorite thing. So I guess my question is, in that way, do you feel like your career kind of satisfies that a little bit? Like maybe gives you a little bit of the itch, or what is it that you do and don't love about it? Aside from the boys club thing, cause I think we'll probably take,
I mean, I'm good at what I do. I know I'm good at it.
Right.
I take it home more than I should. The older I get, the more I've turned it into, it's a job. Leave it after five. I used to take it home with me. I used to take it on the weekends. I used to take it, you know, I manage multiple time zones. So, you know, 4 a.m. if I'm on the West Coast, I'm getting calls from the East Coast. You know, I've learned to scale that back. Because that's on me.
Yeah.
So if you can make it a job and only a job, yeah. I don't think you should. There's an interesting argument you could make that everyone says, oh, find what you love and make a career. I think that's shit.
Yeah, see, I don't like that
argument, because I think that you should have things that you genuinely love and enjoy that give you peace from other things. I don't think that those two should cross.
I think it's very healthy for you to do stuff you don't want to do and be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A lot. I think it's very good for you. If you're always comfortable, you're not growing. You're not like, I don't know how to explain it any better than that. Like,
no, I agree with that though.
There's a lot. Like, I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. Every time I go, for the first 20 minutes, I just want to walk out of there. And then when I'm done, I'm like, fuck, I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Things like that. Just grinding.
Well, I had this conversation with my sister, because my sister just graduated college. Back this year, and we had this conversation, and we were just kind of talking about like all the advice that people had given her about graduating and everything. And I said, I'm going to give you a little bit of unpopular advice. And I said, you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to do the one thing you love every single day, because you might come to not love it, and B, you can totally find something that you're just really fucking good at, and you know that that's always there, right? So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't really think I subscribe to the whole find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Like, I don't, yeah. I'm not sure if that's necessarily possible for our generation.
Right.
Because I think,
well, what carries you into your, you know, your retirement at that point? Because if I'm you and yeah. your love is racing and you became a professional racer and then you retire, what else do you like to do?
Yeah, are you going to retire and still race part-time, or are you going to be so burnt out on racing that you don't
Like, I feel like at a certain point you get so burnt out.
Yeah,
of,
and that's kind of my point.
And then what do you love in your old age? What do you almost have to, like, rediscover yourself and who you are, because you've taken everything that you are and everything that you love and you've made one thing. You're not a multi-balanced human being.
Yeah.
I'm curious about something. So you made a very unpopular decision by going into a male-dominated job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then a very unpopular decision by not taking on everything everybody else was doing. I'm guessing you just was like, yeah, fuck that, I'm not doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I felt that was so original.
So do you think that you getting into medical sales was something that was going to happen just because of your personality, or you're good at it and you fell into it because of your personality? Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, do you like it because you're not supposed to be there somewhat? Like, that's the status quo. It's a man's world. Like,
I think that my successes feel better.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're like a bad
for
bitch.
Sure.
You're like,
for
yeah,
sure.
I'm fucking
yeah.
running the shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I find it interesting. Like, it's not only is the job itself a challenge, but earning the respect is also a challenge from my, you know, I've had some of the people that I've contracted out have looked at me and we've gone, you know, we've sat down at the table and we've had the conversations and they're like, okay, well, who do I speak to about a contract? I'm like, you're looking at her. And they're like, oh shit. You know, like, and that from that point to getting them to, you know, where we are and growing and a successful sales team, like that makes my success feel even sweeter because of where I started and where they thought, you know, who they thought I was before, you know, we went down that road.
One question that I have about kind of off of that is, do you consider yourself, and I ask this because I don't really see a lot of these character. I think people would assume that you're this way, but I don't see a ton of characteristics in you. I think it's more just the person you are and it's how you're built. Do you consider yourself to be like a heavy proponent of the feminist mindset?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Yeah, no. This isn't like a Me Too conversation.
Right.
This is just, you know.
But I think there are plenty of people that are maybe uneducated about that conversation that would think that.
Yeah. I hate the Me Too conversation because I feel like it, you know, you can't change what it was. The fact of the matter is that men were superior to women. But the more you whine about not being, I feel like the worse it looks for everybody. But if you go to work every day and you show up and you prove to somebody else that you, you know, you are equal or you are just as badass, or maybe like I can do things that they can't, I can get meetings that they can, or I can do this. And you know, I feel like that changes somebody's mind. But for me to just expect or just demand that because I think that I should, that's fine. But I feel like you gotta prove it. It's just the way that it is. And I would rather be out there proving it than whining about it, which is my problem with the Me Too movement.
Yeah, I could tell. Well, and a lot of that stuff when they're reacting, I feel like is out of like fear and stuff. And since the moment I walked in the door, you're not a very scared person. You're a pretty confident human being. I was kind of like, whoa.
This bitch, just, what is
she
going to
beat me
here?
Up? Like, what the fuck's going on?
I don't think
I like it, though. It's a good thing. She makes herself known in the room. Like, she's not a little, like, a scared little girl that's hiding in the corner. Kind of very, it's good. It's a nice thing, because, I'm going to be honest, it's rare. There's not a lot of, I've seen it in, like, businesswomen that are very successful young on, and I've seen it with, like, honestly, the only other time is, like, a girl that's a bartender, like, at it. Mm-hmm. They have, like, this confidence about them where they're just, like, I'm not going to flirt back. I'm not going to, like, one of the, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I was a bartender through college.
Well, and I also.
There's a certain demeanor to you where you're not going
to
let
it. Well, you have to be able to say, like, and again, the problem I think a lot of women make is we get, and I've made this, I mean, I've made this mistake too, but you're put in a situation where you feel inferior or somebody says something disrespectful to you or, and then, you know, 5 years later you say, eh, that wasn't okay. And I wish more women, and I'm not shitting on them. This isn't a judgment either, because I mean, I've been in situations where I've had surgeons ask me if I stick my Apple Watch in between my legs when it vibrates. And I didn't know what to say. I literally just cowered. I didn't know what to say. And I did.
What a shit position to put you in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, now you have to either shut up and go home and, like, lose sleep over it because you feel like a coward, or say something and now you're a douche.
Yeah, well,
like,
you know
what
I've learned?
Position.
The older I've gotten, and I wish more women would learn this, or I wish more women would have the confidence to say, you know, hey, and I've done this before. That was early in my career, and now if you were to say that to me,
right,
I'd be like, hey, too far.
Yeah.
Too far. And 9 times out of 10, when you let somebody know, hey, I know you were kidding, but that's not cool, they're immediately apologetic. Because nobody actually means to offend you. No man actually wants to make you feel like a piece of shit, but they do. And if you laugh and you walk away and you cry, you let him know in that moment when you laughed that it was okay.
Yeah, and men get real strange when they get put in a position of power.
Yeah, you have to let, and that's anybody in your life, though.
I've seen it
men,
a lot in the military.
Female to female. You have to let people know that you're not okay with something right in that moment, because it's a teaching lesson for them. It's a, you know, it's a learning lesson for
you. Nip it in the butt right in the beginning of the relationship.
100%.
Because if you let it go on for a year and it just digs at you, and then you finally say something, now it's just
It's too late.
Yeah.
And you've laughed at it, so that person, male or female, assumes that the next time they say something like that to somebody, they're going to get the same reaction.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You've made it okay. And I wish more people were confident enough to say, hey, you took that too far. That wasn't appropriate. Or, hey, I at this moment, don't feel comfortable with that.
How many times have you lost out on sales or something because you had to do something unpopular, like nip something like that in the butt?
Never.
Never? Nothing
never.
Like that?
Okay. Because I've never had somebody get upset with me for saying, hey, I wasn't okay with that. Or being myself. At this stage, I get complimented all the time on Rachel is herself all the time.
Right.
And I've gotten a lot of respect that way. Surgeons don't speak, I mean, they don't speak to me like that anymore.
Yeah.
I've had to prove.
Well, you've had to carry yourself a certain way.
Yes.
So nothing gets confusing.
100%.
Right.
And that's all a learning. You have to learn that.
There's nothing more annoying than a pretty girl that'll sit there and flirt, and then the second it gets weird, she, like, gets all awkward about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah. No, if you, well, that's the other thing, too.
That's the other end of the spectrum.
A lot of women play the game.
Girls that'll play the game.
And I play, don't get me wrong, I have played the game.
Yeah.
100%. But I've played the game to a point, and then I've had to, then I turn it on to a professional set, or, you know, you almost have to flirt to get your way in.
Right.
But then you have to prove that you're smart.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with using it, but don't use it and then say, oh shit, it went too far. You know, you're going to play the game, play the game.
Yeah.
You don't want to play the game, then don't play the game. But you have to pick, you have to have a stance. You can't just kind of willy nilly. And I wish more women would just take a stance in their day to day lives, not just, you know, for a feminist movement or for this, that, or the other. I wish they would just take a stance in their own life.
Yeah,
I think we need more of that.
How many guys in the office will sit there and kiss their boss's ass? It's still flirting.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's flirting too. You're sitting there sucking up to some guy and asking him if you're going to go play 18 this weekend or if he's going to be, you know, whatever.
Oh, we all, I mean.
I get away with a lot more than some of my male counterparts. 100%. They get away with more. They probably get paid a little more. You know, there's a lot. But, you know, women are superior in other ways. Everybody's got a balance.
100%. I think women are so powerful in certain areas that men cannot even, like, for instance, empathy. Men lack so much empathy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's women leaders in the Marine Corps that are great because they hold
this unpopular opinion. Men and women are not equal. And that doesn't mean people, when you
no
say...
No one's inferior,
yes. When you say that, women automatically assume that I'm saying that women are inferior to men. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're not equal.
Yeah.
We are not an equal species. On a playing field, we are not the same physically, mentally, the way that we process a lot of things. Men and women are different. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. And I feel like that's the well, jump that people make automatically.
I think... I agree with that, but I think that's why we've seen such a resurgence, and this is not the only reason. You know, they're getting there's a lot of different reasons that they're getting these opportunities, but I think we've seen so many great women come up and be leaders of companies in the last 10 years because they have that maternal instinct that we are not capable of having, and they can see it in their employees. And as much as a strategic, strong, intellectual thinker as I can be and think outside the box and push my clients to think about things, when it comes to managing a team, that's probably been my hardest part because I can stand up. I have no problem standing up and being this leader and being like, here's our big idea. Like, let's go fucking chase it. But the thing that I've had to learn, and I think a lot of men have to, is we are not necessarily always as naturally compatible to people. Now, I'm not saying there's not men that don't make that look flawless, but I certainly struggle with it. And I've seen a lot of my counterparts that a lot of times we fall behind as far as managers and leaders as some of the women. I've seen some great women come up alongside me that are, I look and I'm like, damn, like you are... you are just a powerhouse because you can look at all these people and you can look at them as a whole and individually, and you understand kind of what they're yearning for and maybe some of the things that they don't say. And so, I mean, that's a little bit of a tangent, but I agree with that conversation that we have much different, I guess, kind of natural prowess.
It's natural skill sets.
Yeah.
They're just different. We're just different.
Do you think so? Okay, you got into your career. Did your career hold you from going to grad school? Was that the primary reason you decided not to?
I think, yeah, mostly. I, you know, early on was in a relationship, though. I ended up getting married early.
She's part of the D Club.
I got divorced early. You know,
welcome to the D Club.
The D Club. Yeah, I think...
We all have big Ds on our resume.
Oh, dear. You know what's funny? I used to have, like, my finger used to break out from, like, the metal. I don't even know what it was. I think water would get under, whatever it was. But I used to not wear them. I always used to joke that I was allergic to marriage. Maybe why I'm divorced.
Nowadays, they have the new silicone ones.
Those are the worst because, like, water gets under there. I wore one for a little bit.
That's, really? I think, yeah, I had, like, two. I had the engagement ring, but then I had, like, two bands, you know, thins. But it made this, like, big block, and I think water would get underneath it, and it would just, like,
it's almost better for it to be just a little too loose. Than
yeah, you needed it to be. Yeah, mine was too tight, I think. Breathe. And yeah. I couldn't wear it because it would make my skin just, like.
I had
to get, like, little blisters under it.
Yeah. And I was miserable. I was like, this sucks.
It itch.
Not only does my husband suck, but the ring, everything about this sucks. Like, how did I get here? This sucks. No, but I use this all the time. I was a box checker. So, like, I finished college, checked that box. Bought my house, check that box, got married, check that box. Like, and I just felt like I was
same.
I was just moving, you know? So, like, going back to school never made any sense to me. Some days I wish I did. Some days I made choices.
Well, that's my next question. Do you think not having that MBA, because we've talked a little bit about this in the past about,
yeah,
you know, you going back to get your MBA and him and I have kind of talked about this subject a little bit. Do you think that's hindered you in your career, like not having that?
I don't know that not early on. I think I climbed the ladder fairly early, and I think that's why I felt like I never needed to go back. But I think when you climb so early, then you start to get rated with your peers, and your peers are all older. So I wish I had an advantage.
Right.
Sometimes I think that MBA might give me, like, I'm 30 years old. If I'm going against a job for a 45-year-old male, you know, technically on a day-to-day, we have the same skill sets. We have the same, but by default, he's got 15 years on me. If I had an MBA, maybe we would offset each other a little bit more on paper. This doesn't necessarily
I think that's where it ends.
Speak to
it
an in-person interview.
Just something to set you apart.
I don't know that it would make me any more money, though. I don't know that it would put me in a better spot. I think just on paper.
Well, so my theory on it, and this is probably wildly wrong, I don't know, but, you know, there's this whole discussion about the cost of education, and there's people out there on both sides. Some people are like, we should have free education. Some people are like, no, we shouldn't. I don't think we should have totally free education. I believe, when I think about it, that my education was for sure worth some certain sum of money. I don't think the things that I got in my master's program are valuable really in my career today. Because I think the things that I learned then are so antiquated and gone today. Now, the flip side of that is that my company and my bosses and the people that I'm around, they all use that. One of the first things that gets said about me when I'm in a professional setting and I'm trying to cultivate a relationship is, this is Scott, blah, blah, blah. This is what he does. He's got a master's in so-and-so, and he's excellent at it.
It's all accolades.
Right? And it's like, and it's kind of horseshit, really, because it doesn't matter. Like, that doesn't make me good at my job.
I think it depends on your career, too, because I think some careers are, I think if you're in education, then it matters to your master. I mean, a lot of teachers, they get paid like shit still, but they have masters and PhDs, and especially at a collegiate level. But I think, like, salespeople, it's more about your experience. It's the years that you've put in.
Yeah, it's more about that street knowledge.
So I think that industry, whatever industry you're in, I think that matters.
Well, and we had this conversation about law school, too. Like, I think the fact that, and this is not a hidden fact, but the fact that law school not only costs as much as it does, it's not even really the cost that's my issue. It's more the third year of law school is complete horseshit. It used to be back in the day, that you would just apprentice. You wouldn't even go to school. You were just an apprentice, and then you became an attorney. And then somebody realized, oh, well, we can, like, standardize this and monetize it. And so, like, now let's make them go to school. And there have been several highly ranked deans. The dean of University of Michigan Law School was the first person to come out and say it. She's an amazingly high respected professional. And she was like, we don't need the third year. We don't need the third year, but we're never going to get rid of it as a society because we make too much fucking money off of it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my argument with this whole education thing, is we need to be more real about what the cost-benefit analysis is there of how much we're charging and in what ways this stuff is really useful. Because there is a certain admission that I think is valid to say that you're paying so much to come and do this just so I can put it on paper, and you and your competitors, when you're in that interview room, might not have it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I do. The flip side of that is, and maybe this is a hypocrite for me, you know, kind of flip-flopping, but I think the cost of, for sure, maybe not necessarily graduate school, maybe undergrad is the problem. Maybe we pay too much fucking money for undergrad. It's like, maybe we subsidize the cost of that, and then you pay if you want to go to grad school.
Like, a bachelor's degree is like a high school diploma now.
Yeah, 100%.
I do. I feel it's becoming more and more like, and that's why I've always voted again. I've always said that, you know, if education was free, we would all be in trouble.
Because everything,
a bachelor's degree is no longer, it means nothing. And right. Then it's your master's. And even then, if everything's free, you know, it's your doctorates, it's your PhD, it's your law school. Those are going to be the only people that are really, you know, having that success financially that we have come to find in a lot of different industries.
Two PhDs is like not even unheard of now.
Yeah.
A lot of people have two PhDs.
Well, she asked me, we had the conversation previously about whether I was going to go get my PhD. And I've considered, I still think about it. I think about it, you know, probably at least like once a month. Like, is this something I really want to do? But at this point, I've already crossed that crux, right? Like, I'm not going to get any farther in my career field.
Yeah.
You know, I've already kind of crossed that hump to where I've got my resume under me and I'm off and rolling. Like, the train is already running.
Yeah.
For me, it's just like, maybe I'll put some chrome rims on my train.
How much do you want to attain that title?
Well, and I've thought about that too. Like,
it's a I feel like that would be, to write your name and then write PhD. I mean, that's probably why I would do it.
Well, I don't know, you know
what that
and
says about me as a person, but
no, there's a part of that. There's a personal accolade part of it.
You should use it. If I had a PhD, I would write.
I would be like, it's doctor asshole.
Well, 100%. See, I'd probably write like on formal correspondence. I would probably write PhD. I'm 100% not the type of dude that would ever want somebody calling me doctor.
Oh,
I don't.
I'd put that shit on my license. Like, where can I write doctor?
I would put it down. I would put it down, but I wouldn't go around being like, it's doctor now. You know? But also, there's a part of me, it's funny because these are parts of my equation. Like, I think about, you know, my parents. I think about the sacrifice my dad put in to never even go to school. And like there's a part of me in my head, whether it's right or wrong, that I feel like I should set up the next generation, whether it's me or whether my brother and sister have kids and I'm Uncle Scott, to show them that they can go and do and be and to help them move in, you know, to help our family as a generation, like, move forward from what, you know, and maybe they shouldn't be a part of the equation, but I don't know. It is. For me, at least.
I wish there was... I feel like there's a lot of talented people that did not go to college. I think there's a lot of people that are talented that, you know, maybe only have their undergrad, and then you got other people that have their master's. But people can... I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I graduated college. I never went to class. I was one of those people that just, like, breezed through it, never went to class, you know... It was what it was, still graduated with honor. You know, there's a lot of people like that, but they can't, then they get out in the workforce and they're not even remotely on the same level as people that maybe have gotten into the workforce earlier. I think we just...
College can't teach tenacity, work ethic.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Drive. It just doesn't.
I think that there's a lot of things that people have that college, 100% that college can't teach you.
Well, I think...
That's not taken in an account.
Well, we had that conversation last week, and that's why that I...
I think it's turning around, like you said, too. People are starting to notice that education isn't everything. You need somebody with drive. You need somebody with intellect, someone... Like, you can have a PhD and still be dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to street smarts. Like, you just can't even interact with people or anything. You're just, like, super weird. So, and then there's... You know, just...
Well,
you never know.
I think it can't... It also... And maybe this is a silly word to use for it, but it can't make dreamers. You know, like, it can't make... It doesn't change my... It doesn't change the things that I want or would go for in my life, or... I don't really think... It might be harder. The timeline might be slower, but I'm not sure it would change where I'm at in my life. You know, I don't think that we have pretty different roads to, like, where... We've been, but we're both here, you know?
We're all three here right now.
But, like, you know, like, we're both just as creative. Like, we think big, I think no matter what you do and no matter which parts of that you put in your life, like, you attract those same kind of people, right? And the ones that go to, I had plenty of people that I graduated with that, yeah, they went to grad school, they went to med school, whatever. You know what? They still moved back to the podunk town.
I knew a girl I graduated high school with. She went to private high school, $30,000 a year to go to private high school. Went to, shit. She went Ivy League somewhere. She's a yoga instructor.
Is she married?
Yep.
What's the husband?
Two kids. No idea. Not the point.
Yeah.
Point is that, like, we spend all this money to do what? And then that's her dream. I have no problem with her being a yoga instructor.
Right.
But, like... Girl.
Yeah.
All you needed was a certification on the weekend. No, and no one would have judged you from doing that out of high school.
Well, and we don't know her story. Like, she could have done that, like, all for her mom or her dad.
No, but I'm saying that there's a lot of people that, you know, I sometimes I feel like education doesn't always translate the way that people expect it to. Here I am. I went to undergrad at a, you know, I went to UMass, but I went to the satellite campus. I went at night and I bartended, you know, twice a week, and everyone was probably like, well, that girl's a hot mess. And then I came out way more successful than a lot of people that went to the Ivy League. It doesn't.
How much did you learn from bartending? You probably learned more from bartending than you did from college.
That's what I'm saying. I learned a lot.
You learned how to handle people that are drunk or not thinking straight. You know what I mean? Those are crazy.
I entered the workforce at 15. Cold Stone Creamer was my first job. But I was a key holder, you know. And you learn how to manage your peers. Like, no one at 15 knows how to manage other 15-year-olds. Yeah. But, like, you get that experience. And then, yes, 100%, you bartend. You learn how to deal with everybody. And I think that's why I'm so good at sales. It's got nothing to do with what I learned in college. It's got everything to do with what I learned in real life.
Yeah.
And what I was able to make out of it.
You learned how to handle drunk men.
Drunk men, sloppy girls,
right.
Dudes throwing up, people on drugs. You know, you just, yeah. I when I got a little bit older and kind of out of the club bar scene, I worked at a, you know, a fancier establishment. I learned how to, you know, deal with old people with money that used to like talk down to you. Oh, you're the smartest waitress I've ever had.
Just backhanded
like,
comment.
Yeah, like put a bullet in my, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Here I am having a college degree, working. You know, I even said to her, I was like, oh, this is supplementary income for me. This is my second job. And she was like, oh, but you must make so much more money doing this. And I was like, oh, lady, you're really pushing it. And I was like, oh, no, you know, I work in neurosurgery sales. And she's like, oh, you really are the smartest waitress I've ever had. Like,
yeah.
You know, because, but people don't. You literally learn how to deal with everybody.
Yeah.
And that's a skill set that I probably wouldn't have. I mean, I wasn't that kid at 14, 15. I was an asshole. I hated everybody.
I was stupid.
Oh, it's crazy that you're so driven because you came up in a lifestyle where you didn't have to be, right? I mean, you grew up in a nice area.
You know, I was very fortunate growing up. I'm super grateful for my parents.
Person that came with up from nothing, which is kind of cool and refreshing because you have that driven type of, like, you grew up.
Because I went to high school with a sailing team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely didn't go to high school with no sailing team.
Yeah.
My high school had a boat building program. We built hunting boats.
You built the boats.
Oh, yeah, that's.
And we built aluminum hunting boats and we sold them and the money came back to the FFA.
Future farmers.
But you know what? Those are some of the smartest people I've ever. Everyone's brain is very different, and everybody's, you know, things fire off. So mechanics, you know how many mechanics I know that are absolute morons when you talk to them outside smoking a cigarette, but like brilliant human, the way that their brain operates. I can't even look at a schematic for an.
Have both been mechanics at some point?
No, seriously though, I honestly can't even look at a schematic from IKEA without sweating. But like, you know, somebody who went to, you know, vocational school. We used to call it Votech Slow Tech. And like now when you're older, you're like, well, you're an idiot. Oh, you're the idiot for saying that because those guys are gonna make $90 an hour to change my oil.
No,
because I'm too stupid to figure out how to do it myself.
Short aside, like
if you date that guy, he could literally fix anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Well, you know, I'd have to want to date first. There's that.
This is a funny story I thought of. This is like months ago, and a bunch of us had went to. Did we go to the basketball game we'd gone to, and they had the new Kia Telluride. The big SUV in the thing, and we had all come out of the game, and like everybody had dispersed to go to the bathroom, and I came out and I was looking at this thing. I was like, damn, this thing's kind of nice. And I'm like, you know, doing the car guy. I'm like looking it over. I'm not just standing there. I'm like actually looking it over. And all of a sudden, she comes back and she like pushed me out of the way. She was like, don't fucking stand here and be acting like you're gonna buy a Kia. Awesome.
He was though. He was standing there. He was envisioning two kids in the back, where you know, Cheerios everywhere.
Clearly, she does not know me.
I'm kidding.
I'm not envisioning kids. I was like, damn, the seats lay down. Can I put Abe in this thing? It's pretty nice though. There's one in the garage here. Somebody just bought one.
I will say though, I feel like all these cars now are all starting to look
Hyundai.
Like, yeah, Kia, Hyundai, all of them are like, hey, you know what? If we just make the body style look the same and sell it for less, it's like. People are going to buy it.
Well, I don't know. I feel like they're getting better.
I feel like they all look the same anymore.
No.
I feel like in today's
world... You're a car person.
In today's world, if you put out a shitty product, you simply won't survive. There's too many reviews. Too many people are going online and checking shit out. So if you put out a crappy car, you just won't survive.
Look at... I mean, like when Hyundai's luxury line, when Genesis came out, there was just like the Hyundai Genesis. And now it's been so successful that the Hyundai name... Everyone loved the cars, and I think Kia is probably 5 or 6 years behind, but everyone loved the cars so much, but they were like, I just can't really justify like paying this for a Hyundai. What'd Hyundai do? They fucking got rid of the Genesis name. They sectioned off the entire company, and now it's just Genesis, and now they're competing. They outsold BMW last year in the same class, and so I think they're getting better. And they're fucking looking. They're awesome.
Superb marketing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The marketing's getting better. The quality.
Marketing is so underrated for everything that, like, everybody buys shit based on what it looks like. Marketing.
Well, or this is only because it's what I do.
Digital marketing.
How we talk about it.
Or how you talk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the perception, I should have said, not the way it looks, the perception.
It's all about the reputation.
Yeah.
You can kind of set the tone for the conversation of the product with great marketing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about. That's what I love about it is we get to, I love knowing that like I'm the guy that made up that conversation or that controls the way the conversation goes. Maybe that's why I like podcasting so much. Okay. So you're super successful in your job and your life. You move to Arizona, which you love.
Love.
I mean, I'm kind of assuming for the people, but I already know this. So you found a home here. She lives over in Scottsdale, but we won't hold that against her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
What about outside work? We've talked a lot about work, but what do you like to travel? Do you like to eat? I know you like to drink.
Whoa, set it down.
We bonded over margaritas early in our friendship, but.
Everywhere. You guys can't see her, but she looks like she's about 140% Irish. So,
you know what's funny? I'm not. I'm really not. My dad, Sicilian. Like, my dad and my brother, like, dark hair, dark skin, olive. Like, my Nana, we're low Bianca, like, all Sicilian. And then my mom's family is, like, Norwegian, Hungarian, like, Scandinavian, which is where my red hair comes from. Oh. But everybody just assumes, like, Boston, red hair, freckles. I gotta be fucking Irish guy.
Loves to drink.
Loves to fucking drink.
I would've guessed it.
What do you like to do outside of... If you could do more leisurely things, what would that be?
Anything else. Like camping, hiking.
Where do you want to go? Where'd you go last year? Somewhere that you loved? Or favorite Arizona spot?
You know, I'm low key disappointed in myself because I feel like I haven't done enough Arizona spots. Been to Sedona. I did do Havasupai Falls.
Solo, by the way.
Solo, yeah.
Did fucking Havasupai, right?
Solo. Yeah, never been.
Yeah, backpacked 25 miles with 30 pounds on my back by myself.
I feel like that's a checklist for the Instagram, though. Like, every girl and guy's like, oh, have a soupy falls, gotta be on my Instagram. I don't know.
To do it solo is pretty badass.
Shit's front and center on mine, not even gonna lie to you.
I'd be putting it up there, hell yeah. And I'd be telling everybody, I did it solo.
Didn't caption it, don't go chasing waterfalls, so I feel like
I gotta go again and redo it.
Yeah, I feel like I get a
so that's a point. I should do that when I do it.
No, that's because that's what everybody. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Rest in peace, Lisa Lefta.
Yeah, TLC for life. Yep. Glacier National Park I did last year. I love Idaho. I did do Idaho a lot last year.
I've never been. I've got a friend that her family's got a place up there, and it like the pictures look phenomenal. They have the this lake up there. I can't remember the lake.
Coeur d'Alene.
Is that the really deep one where they do the sub testing? Maybe. There's a lake up there that's so deep. That's where they test the like prototype top secret sonar. In this lake up in Idaho, yeah. And they basically build like scale models of our submarines and they drop these big radar things at the bottom of the lake and they like remote control these little submarines around the lake and test the sonar. Like all the new sonar tech that's being developed is developed in Idaho.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting from her, she doesn't really do anything besides work.
Yeah. No, she. I think she would like to, though. That's what I'm
getting at. I mean, so I travel a lot for work. 100,000 miles a year on average. For
driving?
No, flying.
What's your airline?
Southwest.
What?
I know, knees in my chest. But you know what? Everybody says that. But when you travel as much as I travel, you want to get there on time. Like, you want to cut out all the bullshit. I don't. Like,
so don't fly American, then.
Yes. No, oh, my God.
I'm loyal to
the
American.
Worst.
It's on the
I've flown American 3 times, gotten stuck in airports because their connection.
I don't know if I've ever been on time with American.
Nope.
And I'm so drawn to the name because I'm such a...
I don't mind it, though. Yeah, you are such a
diehard redneck.
Such a diehard redneck that I'm just like, American, yeah.
You know what's funny, though?
The only thing that would make it better was the Confederate flag.
BFF, Travis, from North Carolina,
yeah,
legitimately, like, exact same personality.
That's funny.
Really?
Yeah, he's, like, bleeding heart American.
Delta's okay. I
Delta has the nicest
planes. I toy with Delta from time to time. I'm okay with them.
Delta for
sure. JetBlue, another one. Never on time. American, never on time. United can just like drop off as far as I'm concerned.
I know no one's listening, but huge shout out to Allegiant. They give veterans 5 free check bags. It's huge.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you doing with 5 free check bags?
Take.
Moving.
Well, if you fly with your family, all their bags get checked for free.
Okay.
That's good. It's just you that gets them. So you could, if you have a wife and 3 kids, they all get a check bag for free. That's kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah.
When I was moving back from London, I decided that this was my last like long flight for a while that was going to be on the clock of the company. So I kind of had figured out this is what was going to happen, luckily early enough. And when I was over there, I'd drive around France and just stop at all the chateaus and like wine taste by myself and like, kind of get shit faced. And I'd find a little Airbnb and pass out. But what I did was I bought this gigantic suitcase at TK Maxx. Over there, it's TK Maxx. It's not TJ, it's TK Maxx.
Where is this?
In Europe.
Oh, okay.
It's still TJ Maxx. It's the same company,
yeah,
but they call it TK Maxx. It's so stupid. And that pisses me off on another level because, like, the efficiency of making 2 signs versus one.
Right.
Like, just fucking make one sign.
One sign maker.
Yeah.
Just ship it
over. I know. That's so stupid. Yeah. Such a waste of resource. Anyway, I bought these 2 giant suitcases. Like, I literally packed all my clothes in, like, a roller bag, like a carry-on. And I bought these 2 giant suitcases, filled them with wine. They were obscenely overweight. I think between the 2 bags, it was... like 400 pounds. Jesus. And I shipped it home. When I put these things on the scale, the guy was like,
no, pal.
You know, this is way over your limit and it's going to be very expensive. And I pulled out the company card and I was like, ring her up. And so it cost an obscene amount. And I got all this wine home and I was expecting to roll it in here and it just go everywhere. I didn't lose a single bottle. I did not break a single bottle on the plane from London to New York, to Raleigh, to here. Not a single bottle even cracked.
That's impressive.
Pretty happy accomplishment, right? So that's what I'm saying. If I got 5 free bags, man, I'd like be stocked wine for years.
Well, Allegiant's not making...
They're not making international runs.
Well,
what do they do, like two
airports? They're going from Eastern Washington to Mesa. Mesa Gateway.
They fly in the Southeast, though, because my mom uses them to go...
Yeah, what's that airport outside of Charlotte?
Concord, no. Is it Concord?
Concord, yeah.
Yeah.
However you say it, Concord.
It's a funny story. Last year, we went to... One of the trips I came home, I went and met my parents in... I met my mom in Florida just after Thanksgiving. But then I was flying back to North Carolina for a few days before I went to London. And I picked the same block of time. I already knew my mom had her flights booked, but I was like, that's fine. Like, maybe my flight will get there a half hour early. I'll just wait on you to get off the plane. Well, it's not till literally about half hour before we're about to go to the airport that she's telling me that she's flying into Concord and I had booked my flight into Charlotte. And that story's not really as funny as I thought it was going to be. But like, she was flying
Allegiant.
That's just
standard and flying with your mom, though.
Whoever, I'm like, and she was mad at me. She was like, why didn't you? I was like, who, is ever going to think to fly into Concorde first. I would never even think. I thought only like executive jets when I didn't know Allegiant, you know.
I kind of did the same thing. I ended up having to pay like $110 for an Uber once because I booked a flight through Allegiant and then I got an Uber to this airport from here. And then I was like, where's Allegiant at? I don't see the sign for it.
They're like, it's about an hour away.
The guy's like, that one's out in East Mesa, bro. I was like, all right, well, take me there. I'll change the location. Yeah. Great.
Okay, so you travel a lot. Where, if you used your points for a week's vacation right now, where would you go?
So I've never been to Europe.
Oof,
at all. Go. So literally,
I'm real hot on Portugal right now.
Probably, yeah. I've heard that.
I'm fucking telling everybody about Portugal.
You're not the only one who's told me that. But Europe, pretty much anywhere in Europe, I would.
Paris is overrated.
You know what? Take that one off because that's Lyon. What I've heard.
Lyon.
Like, see the Eiffel Tower. Congrats.
I mean, sure, go see it. Like, Paris is cool, but. The Lyon is the French city that Americans want Paris to be. It's smaller, it's walkable. The architecture looks identical.
Yeah.
But it's just this beautiful French city. Like, they've got all the little patisseries and bakeries, but it's just easier to get around. It's more leisurely. So put that on your list.
I want to bring my mom to Norway this year because that's obviously where
I'm going. Yeah, I've wanted to do that too because the pictures look fucking awesome.
I want to go Norway, Sweden, and then like maybe like Copenhagen, Denmark, and like spend.
Copenhagen. My brother and sister just did, they did Denmark, Amsterdam, like back in the summer, and I wasn't able to go, but that'd be cool. Europe.
I feel like that'll be the next one.
What about you?
Spain, though.
Spain's awesome.
Yeah.
I would go with somebody else other than mom to Spain.
Yeah.
Because Spain, like, you just...
She really wants to go there, though, and I,
does
like...
She want
I don't. I don't... No, my mother, no.
I don't know.
No.
Listen, my mom's a wild card. Like, I think my mom, just hearing your mom a little bit in passing
she
every
might.
Now and then,
like, she might surprise you. My mom is artsy.
My mom's, like, super...
She could, but...
Just... Like a great little, not even old lady, but during the day. And then at night, she'll hit you up like 9:30. She'll be like, hey, let's go get a nightcap. I'm like, what the fuck?
Orders a Cavassier or something. Like,
yeah.
We just didn't see that one coming.
Kim popping bottles.
Yeah.
I don't really want to go anywhere like that. I don't know. Going places like that doesn't really do a whole lot for me. It's kind of strange.
What would you do? Where would you spend your time?
A dream of mine, I would love to, essentially, especially if I met somebody, I would love to spend like a winter where I was completely like surviving out in the wilderness.
Off the sea world.
Yeah, like if I had a cabin up in like Alaska or something and I was able to go up there for an entire winter
Alaska's
and hunt my
cool.
food.
I can't imagine what kind of girl you'd find to do this with, though.
Well, I was actually listening.
They exist.
Yeah, but what does
friend,
she look like? I'm
friend,
dying to know.
I've got a good friend from Chicago that just moved to Sitka.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's pretty. She used to work at McDonald's. She's like, it was big time.
Damn. Hook him up.
I'll reach out.
I don't need that right now. I'm
Match
saying that's a
making.
Dream
Jamie,
like,
my buddy
wait,
Travis.
When did you get divorced? Because you made a tan line joke. Like, is that still fresh? It's fresh. It's
still there if you look.
It's not.
Ooh, it's fresh.
September 2017. It was over 2 years ago. The actual divorce was final.
Oh.
The marriage was crumbling way before that.
Okay.
But yeah, we're, no.
I think you're the most recent, right? Yeah.
Well, December 2000. I mean, I'm not. I'll be legally divorced this month. But like, we've been together since December of 2017.
Been legally divorced over 2 years now. It's been a while.
So I suppose I'm the last.
Yeah, you're the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
There's something that I think you would find out about yourself, and that you would solidify in a relationship if you went and survived together. Just each other in the wilderness for a winter.
Oh yeah, I could do cabin life. So I have this thing, and a couple of my friends that hear this will know this, is I've always had this thing called an escape plan. And the escape plan is this place that only I know where I would go and never tell anybody else. And I would basically go, you know, get myself there, get off the grid and like ship from some random town. I would ship all my things back, like my company phone or whatever needed to be. I don't have a company phone anymore, but you know, but it's just this place that if the day comes and I'm like, fuck everything, I'm just going and I'll be off the grid and I'll just like disappear and it'll be probably the same version. Same. Yeah. And the only hint that I've ever given somebody is it's not going to be a tropical place. Mine's going to be like...
I've never liked... I mean, don't get me wrong. Nobody, like, hates being in Jamaica or St. Lucia. No, nobody hates that.
I'd do that for, like, a week, but I don't know.
Yeah, but that's never been, like... It, you know, and that was actually always a discrepancy in my marriage because that's always what he wanted to do for vacation. Like, and I was just like, really? Again? Like, our honeymoon, we went to St. Lucia. I'm like, really?
So, the again? First book I remember reading and the... My favorite book of all time still to this day is The Hatchet.
Yeah, Gary Hatchet. Coulson, yeah.
The kid that...
Did you ever read that one?
Yeah.
His parents are divorcing, so he goes flying, you know.
It was a junior high. Goes,
young, that's a young one. That's...
Like...
That's elementary school, probably.
I was going to say, yeah. I feel like I was in fifth
what
grade.
Was the other one?
Yeah, it's probably like fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah, I guess maybe so. Gosh, I'm old. It's all blurs together.
Yeah. No, there's something about it, though, being a... I mean, I don't know. There's something about eating meat... That you've harvested yourself to, or anything.
That's where you lost me.
I'd have to get good at hunting again, though. I'm not like.
Yeah.
I haven't had
it's
to.
Very
like,
natural. You figure it out. Like, it,
yeah, I mean, it's probably
I'd be eating
like,
poisonous berries. I'd be
you'd
dead.
Be dead. You'd be gone.
I'd be dead real early.
You'd be gone.
Yeah. It's like the black person in a horror movie. A guy'd be the first one out.
First guy.
First well, person to die.
Yeah, I could. I think I could probably do it.
Isn't what? That weird about horror movies? Like, the guy and the girl that are always, like, the most promiscuous always get murdered while they're having sex. And then, like, the innocent little church mousy girl that, like, still has her virginity, she's the one that survives always. Yeah. Every time. It's kind of really strange the way yeah. they plot
this. I don't watch
up.
Enough horror movies, to be honest.
Like, every cheesy
National
horror
Treasure
movie
is really the most.
Way.
This is a scary movie.
Nicolas Cage's acting
Cage
is the closest I get to a horror film.
Nick Cage has been shot at 415 times in this film and hasn't been hit once.
So to update all zero of our listeners, they have stolen the Declaration already and they are in pursuit. Nick Cage is. Wow, he's a.
Even the way
runner.
He runs is yeah. just very,
he's
very painful to watch.
Have been like just completely.
And they probably have to do. I get the feeling that they can only do like one take at a time, and then he's got to have a cigarette.
He's winded.
Yeah, yeah. That's at least that's the vibe I get.
He looked like he was in pain. Doing
he did
a very light it's yawk. Like
he looks like he's in pain when he just acts.
There's something very innocent and pretty about her. I don't know what it is.
I have no clue who that is.
Me neither. I don't know her name at all, but she's... I've caught myself staring at her a few times. When they were doing the changing scene, when they were like...
What do you guys think? Do you think most guys like a natural female?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, for
something
sure.
Something so much more attractive about a girl that wears little
yeah,
to no makeup than a
yeah,
lot of makeup.
Yeah, much prefer it.
We talked about this. This is the difference between, like, beautiful and hot.
Yeah.
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 Fair.
Hot,
I think
you just want to sleep
in
with
my,
them, and beautiful, you want to, like, actually talk to them.
Yeah.
Spend time with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, for me, when I can, it's easy to go out and find a lot of women that you're attracted to when you're out. But I think there's something really attractive to me about when I'm in, like, a personal space or a relaxed space, and I'm still just like, damn. Yeah.
It's really special if a girl wears makeup a lot because of what she does, but she's still pretty without it, and you're kind of like the only one that gets to see her without it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, too.
I feel that way about Magush and her glasses, because she only wears her glasses at home. And I'm like, I'm kind of into it.
Nice.
Yeah. I kind of like, yeah. Well, how do you feel about Christmas? Have you done much Christmas stuff around town? Do you like Christmas?
I'm going to sound like such a Grinch. No, I'm not a big, like, I've never been somebody that, like, decorates and, like, I don't, you know, I don't need the Santa toilet seat cover. Like, we just don't need to do
and
that
I got
bullshit.
One. Did you see it?
You do?
Yeah,
I bet you do. Yeah. I knew it. I just, like, I don't know. I've just never gotten, like, super into decorate. I like the entertaining part. Like, I would love to have everybody over for Christmas.
Don't
and
party.
I would cook and I would
do.
I would literally.
We'll come.
I would literally. In my studio apartment, yes. Everybody just sit on top of each other.
Yeah, but then if we have a smaller apartment, yet, you don't need as many people.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that many friends, so it's a good
she
thing.
You can come to the ugly sweater party on Friday.
Is it here?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we're having an ugly sweater party.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of shit about the holidays that I like. But, like, the
we
decorating
do,
and just doing all
what time
of
is it?
I'll send you the deets.
I've got work.
I don't even think I'm going. I just know that it's
wait, why
there.
Aren't you going?
I don't know. I might be
get
working.
On a sweater?
I might be working till late that night. Yeah. I don't know.
Is it? It's not like official. It's not like official.
It's just people here, like 20, 30 people here. It's
like the crew.
I wish
like
it snowed crew. For yeah. one day here. Like I would just need one day of snow.
It hailed just today.
2 hours north.
I know that. I think that. I think that's what I want to do.
Do you snowboard? Do you ski?
I ski. I tried snowboarding. No bueno.
We could all
not good. Not good for your girl.
You just went up to Flagstaff and we just like.
Oh, I know. I know what we could do. We could all do it. Well, a few of us. Only
just go out,
like,
just go out we could, and be in that weather.
Yeah, there's a great.
Yeah, just one day. I don't like. Yeah.
Some of my DC friends came last year, and there's a really great couple little Airbnbs up just outside of Flag that are like baller. And you can take the dogs, they allow dogs. And we just went up there and we hung out. And we just spent like a night. Maybe we spent two nights there. And we just went into Flag and we'd like drink and hang out and like be in the town, and then we come back. It was perfect. Uh-oh. He got the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, in the summer when I was still married, I'd go up there and golf from sunup to sundown. And,
she'll go. She's a big golfer.
And then I'd go eat.
Big is generous.
Well, okay.
I know how to golf. But, like, I'm a par 3 course girl, you know? You don't need to bring me out
I'll
anywhere.
Drive the shit out of a cart.
Yeah, get hammered and
please believe.
Cart. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Golfing is just a fun activity in general, I feel
is
like.
It?
Yeah.
How much do you do it for business?
I feel like you can, you know, I've gotten that, you know, sort of back to that male female conversation. A lot of my sales reps, like a lot of my guys, will do that. I leave that to them. You know, I start taking surgeons out one on one or even say like entertaining one on one. Like,
what happens if you whoop a surgeon's ass on the golf course? He probably gets pretty pissed off, right?
Like no, that see, might not we don't, so well. We haven't even tried that. We haven't even gone down that road. I opt out of golf 10 out of 10 times.
Okay. Yeah, that might be. I mean, I
just
don't. I could see some guys with some egos getting pretty.
Yeah, I just don't need, we just don't need that. Like I said, my sales reps, at this point I'm in management, I let all my sales reps, you want to entertain the surgeons, that's fine.
Minions. Right.
Yeah, I let them do all that.
Golf minions.
I come in, I talk product knowledge, I, you know, do my shtick, it's fine. But taking them out and doing outings like that, it's kind of like.
Now, you have to be a subject matter expert in whatever device you're selling when you're selling that. Because you're there on surgery day, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean,
so you, like, know
you have to know the product and you know how it applies. Like, I work in neurosurgery, right? Like, I'm never going to know. I barely scratch the surface on what neurosurgery is as far as my knowledge. But yeah, you have to be somewhat of an expert on your product and how your product is applied.
Okay.
I would say more so the application of your product than the field itself. Because you'll never know. 9 times out of 10, if you start talking to a surgeon about, you know, you're going down this road and blah, 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 he's like, shut up. It's like, you know, sales reps are like, oh, what kind of research are you doing? Shut up. Because we don't know. We don't know what kind of research you're doing. We don't know the facial nerve, the, you know, trigeminal. You can throw out these terms, but a lot of times, You really have to be prepared to back it up. And a lot of people aren't. So it's just better to know your product, know how it's applied, say as minimal as possible in the operating room.
Know what you know and shut up about everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Don't try to bullshit these
guys.
They'll call you on it.
Yes.
Right.
These guys have, you know, spent 7 years in residency, you know, 4 years in med school, 4 years in undergrad studying biology. Like, please don't try and tell them where they need to stick X or Y, you know.
Don't do it. I see that. Yeah.
A lot of time, I mean, I've always sat in the room and been like, you know, here's what you got. Here's what the goal is. If you have any questions, let me know. I'm standing right behind you.
I've told plenty of people in my lifetime where they could stick it.
Yeah. Well, where the sun don't shine,
different subject matter.
Where the sun don't shine.
I have. And then we'll start to wrap up, and because you're probably like, let's get the fuck out of here. You are a lady about town, I assume. How?
Describe. What's your definition of lady about town?
Well, you're dating.
Ooh. Well.
Lady about town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same as a man about town.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard the phrase a man about town?
I've heard like you got to go sow your wild oats. I've heard that. I'm guessing it means the same
Jesus,
thing, right?
You and your wild. I'll give you a wild oat. What's your?
I don't even know what a wild oat
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, neither do I. No, neither I do no, I.
Wait, listen, I love. It's funny talking to single women about what the dating life is.
Oh yeah, get me going, baby. We should have started this conversation an hour ago.
I don't know why we didn't, because I think this is a great one. This is a gold mine.
Especially an independent, like driven woman. I feel like your options are limited for what you're
doing. Oh, they hate me. Men hate me.
Oh, she gets railroaded by dudes. I mean the opposite. I meant to say that the other day.
Settle down.
Dudes.
Again, no one knows us. Define railroad.
Railroaded in like overpowered intellectually. Dudes are just run over by her.
Right, I can see that.
Which makes horrible sense. But my question is not even about that. It's about, like, the quality of... Because we have you been on the apps before since you've been here? Not at all.
No.
Okay. Well...
Don't rush.
The rest, yeah.
I'm going to meet her in real life, or I'm not going to meet her. So.
That's okay. Ultimately what I've... You give it a try, right? Because... That's what everybody's doing. You feel, I genuinely felt like at one point or another, like I needed to give it a, don't knock it until you try it. It's always been my motto.
Not only that,
I just want to hear about
the
like.
The best billboard. So I feel like my greatest qualities are when you meet me and you get to know me, not what I look like. So it's so like, you're just doing this.
Would you have a picture, wait, if you did and you had six pictures.
Give us the shirtless pic.
Would one of them. Be holding a fish.
No.
Okay.
And no, and one of them.
Well, I didn't know this was a thing.
Or your nieces and nephews. I love that one. Guys always have a niece or nephew or like someone's kid that they borrowed for the photo. And then they make sure to preface, not my kid, but I look cute holding a baby. Like, eye roll.
Do you have any disaster stories?
Disaster stories?
Disaster dates. Yeah.
More than
I went on a Mormon. I went on a date with a Mormon who had six children.
Yes,
okay?
This is what I want.
My vetting process needed again. Don't knock it till you try it. My vetting process needed work. Okay, that was a great indicator because this man was a lawyer, 36 years old. I was like, okay, you know,
he's not a quitter. He doesn't
not half bad looking. I'm like, I can do this. So we go to dinner. He messages me right off the bat. He's like, hey, you seem really cool. Let's meet up. Which I'm a face-to-face person anyway. So you kind of, when you do that to me, you kind of get me right off the bat. So I'm like, okay, somebody's taking this seriously. Let's go. So we go. And I am one bite into ceviche when it's like, my ex-wife and I have six children together. And I am, you know, not a Mormon anymore as of 2 years ago.
Good like, for him for getting the boys out quick.
Though. I was like,
yeah, good for him for coming with it quick.
Yo, yeah. He
didn't sleep with you for a month and then.
He came with it quick. Jedediah is 16, the family as well. I was like, I gotta leave. And at the end, he was like, you seem really cool. Like, you're the type of girl I'd want to date. And I point blank was like, listen, I don't want you to feel like I'm rejecting your children. But I'm rejecting your children, okay? I do not want to...
Six kids.
Yeah, I don't even want to go down this road with somebody that I...
You make like $2 million a year, dude. Because Jesus.
Has to.
Oh my God.
It's some law degree, quite frankly.
You know she never worked too, and he's paying her an exorbitant amount of money to keep...
So what we're getting at here is because...
How can you have a job if you're pumping out your child factory? You've pumped out six kids. What would you be doing that whole time?
I don't know.
Always assumed that...
I mean, maybe she did. I'm assuming, but...
I always assume, because you hear about guys that talk about how the pool around here is not that deep on the apps. I assume it's probably deeper, but like lower quality for the women. My assumption is that it's 10 times as hard to be on the apps as a woman.
You know, I use this analogy all the time, right? Dating in this day and age, period, especially with the apps, it's like going to the Cheesecake Factory. You have 40 pages of menu, okay? And you go there, you frequent it, it's in the neighborhood, whatever, and you like the chicken. You know every time you've gone in, you've gotten the chicken's really cool, like you love it, best dish ever, they never fuck it up, the sauce is fire, but you have 40 pages of options. So it's like, shit, I really like that meal, but like...
You just keep going back.
What about the beef? You know, it's like you just, And I feel like that's the problem, is you go out and, like, you know, maybe it's cool, maybe you have a good time, but, like, you know, how do you, nobody's ever willing to be like, hey, this is cool, let's put everything we got into this.
How do you know there's not one better?
Yeah. It's that what else is out there mentality, yeah, because you have access to it.
And I think that's a generational thing.
You lose me on the Cheesecake Factory analogy.
No, he's with it.
No, I get it now.
Yeah.
I see. You're worried that nothing lasts because everybody's looking for the next best thing.
Well, it's even if you appreciate, even if you and I went on a date, we appreciate each other, we had a really good time, but it's like, you know, how
there's
do
still
I
something better out there?
Yeah, there's a possibility that, you know, you're cool, but maybe there's a cooler girl. Maybe there's a girl that's better for me.
Well, then you clearly just don't love that person, right?
Well, that's
you know, people say that, but how do you even know?
Because you
didn't give it.
Love?
Yeah, because I feel like nobody gives it a good enough effort. You know, we go on two dates. That's not a good enough effort, I feel like, to really say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
I believe that I could know that I could love that person when I first met them. Like, I know that there's the opportunity there.
I believe that I think...
Maybe not in love, but I could genuinely, like, care for somebody after just meeting them one time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I buy that.
Yeah, like, hold...
You believe,
like,
wait, their, say that again, you believe that what?
Like, feel their energy and just connect with them, like, on a crazy level. And if they ever passed away, like, or anything, it would, like, it would hurt me as if I knew them my whole life.
So what you said...
You know what I mean? Like...
So if we met and they, like, died the next day,
maybe I wasn't, like, in love with them, but I have this deep connection.
You died the next day, you'd be Will Ferrell at the.
I feel that way. I feel like, you know, again, you start dating. I've been single now for 2 years, and you date and you date and you date, and people are cool, and you have a good time and whatever else. But I'm like, I feel like sometimes I'm dead inside. Like, I'm like that. I had fun. Like, I should feel more, and I just don't. And then I've. Since being divorced, I've met one person.
Well, that's what it is.
That almost instantly, I was like, "Oh, shit, shit! I gotta leave the bar, shit!" You know, and then it.
I feel like we're getting smarter too because we've been fucked over so many times. So we're kind of like not even allowing it to happen now. We're kind of like, I could really like this person, so instead of risking it and letting them, like, make it hard for me to get up out of bed sometimes because I'm depressed that it didn't work out, how about I just push them away? And, like, fuck this up before it even gets good.
I
just do that with my natural personality. I don't actually have to try that hard to do that. Eventually it'll happen.
I used to be pretty good at pushing people away. But I think that was a defense mechanism. Because I think after I got divorced, I was like that. I was like, I don't fucking let anybody get that close to me again. Like, this was supposed to be my person. I think the flip side of that is, though, I came out of that being, and I don't know if I ever actually believed this, or maybe I just told myself that I believed it, but, like, the whole soulmate conversation, I believe now that there are multiple soulmates out there for any given person. I mean, like, anybody can be a soulmate in a different way, you know, like... We could be, like, maybe we could be soulmates over music, or, you know, like, there could be, because I don't necessarily believe that just because I got divorced and we went completely opposite directions, like, my ex could, she's still a soulmate, like, in a certain way, ultimately not compatible, but, like, she had a huge part of my life. So I think I see people more for that and not in as much of a romantic way as I used to, because I'm more understanding now about how to give people those different sides of my life and my personality, while also knowing that, okay, this is probably not a romantically compatible person, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I'm more choosy about who I let see that romantic side of me, because it takes more. It just takes more everything. It takes more work. It takes being more open and more vulnerable. A lot of times it probably takes me being a more mature person, which is hard in a lot of ways. But, yeah, I don't know.
Do you ever feel like, because I feel like I do this now... So Josh and I got together. I was 22. I got married a week after I turned 26. So, you know, and then a year and a half later, like, we had, you know, he slept with the girl from CrossFit. My God. But fell apart real quick. But I now look, because we got along great. Like we could not coexist in a household in like a functioning, like the way we managed money or the way that we paid bills or the way that we communicated about dishes, about walking the dog. Like we could not sustain a household together. But if we were like out, just him and I, like going to the movies, like there was not a person that I had more fun with.
You guys could flirt like no other.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. The attraction was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think I assumed that like all that other stuff would work itself out and like, oh, we would eventually learn how to communicate about dishes. Like it's not hard, but it is. And now I feel like there's a lot of, I find myself getting along with more people, but I'm like, oh, but I could never be in a relationship with them because the way that, you know, I pay attention to the way that they do stupid day-to-day shit.
Now you find like yourself worrying way more about
like what the day-to-day looks like than the,
you would appreciate a guy more if he did the dishes. That would be more attractive than a guy that was really good at flirting with you at a movie theater. Like you're converting what isn't attractive.
I'm making something that should be maybe a little bit more about romance or the, and I'm turning it into realism. Like,
well, yeah,
what
is, that's the,
how
really
realistic
is
it for us to sustain a relationship? Because I think there's a difference between getting along with somebody and enjoying their company and being with them. And then what does that look like in a relationship, though? And I find myself nixing people.
You're at a weird place right now. You're 30. So this is what happens with a lot of women that are driven like you. About this time, you kind of start to take a backseat career-wise and look for motherhood and being a wife.
Oh, yeah. No, I want a soccer mom.
Yeah.
Super hard. But, you know.
That happens a lot in the industry where these women are badasses. They're driven. They're honestly outperforming men until they get to be about between 30 and 35. And then they're kind of just like, I can make 180 grand a year and work 60 hours a week. Or I can make 100 grand a year and work 40 hours a week and have a child. And that would bring me a lot more joy. Like, so.
I'd like to, I used to say I would never get married again. And now I'm like, no, that's stupid. You know, I would. Because I do want a family.
I just look to the first part of your question. I look at it much differently because I, in my marriage, we were best friends and we never fought. We actually never fought. Decisions, the household was run well. We didn't have any issues there until we did. And then when we did, fucking everything was different. Like being out was different. The communication was different. We started to see each other differently. And then I think about it now, and I think that I'm not even sure we would be friends because I had this, it was probably me that went, I look at it now. I think her change was a catalyst of my change, and she probably would have eventually gone through that. I believe she would have gone through that change anyway, had it not happened for me first. But I started to kind of change the way I looked and think about life and my career motives. And it just changed the dynamic between the type of people that we were. And I look at my life now and the things that I have gone and done and I'm not even sure we would be friends at all now. And I hate to say that, but I think the follow up of that is when it comes to, you know, any relationship, like with the relationship I'm in now, I think about this person that I've allowed to get this close to me. And I think much more maturely, at least in my own mind, about how I have to approach this. Instead of putting someone in a box of what I think is, you know, these are, like, instead of saying, okay, these are the things I'm bad at, maybe make it something like as much as doing the dishes. Like, obviously that's a silly thing to say, but like, I'm not great at doing the dishes, so I need somebody that'll do that or whatever. Instead of thinking of it that way, I think of it as like, every person's different. Like, if I dated one person, there would be a certain set of things I would have to adjust myself on to make that work. And then like in my current relationship, I have to morph. Like maybe there's something that I'm not so good at, but I need to learn, or, you know, this person's going to be dynamically much different And I think that makes me a better person to be in a relationship, but it also makes me more open to learning about just how to be with somebody, because I see it's a much more elastic thing to me than it used to be. It used to be like, this is what I am. You have to be this to be in a relationship with me or it's not going to fucking work. Right. And now I'm like, okay, well, listen, I'm still kind of a pain in the ass. Like, I'm going to go do things that probably most people, your parents, whoever parents
I
it is,
being told what are to like, do.
Yeah, me too. Like, but you know,
just
but it's
don't
like,
tell me what to
I for sure have these flaws and I'm pretty open about what these flaws are, but it's also like, whatever you need, even if it's not something that I'm really great at giving, like I'll learn how to do it. If I'll figure it out. If I enjoy your company, if I enjoy, you know, the time and I enjoy the things that I get. And it's, you know, I've also learned to kind of look at the people that I allow into my life, not just in romantic relationships, but, you know, I learned to appreciate people for, I've had this kind of renaissance in my life about being really, and that's part of what spurred this podcast, is I love having people that are diverse background wise, story wise, the way they think, where they come from. I want as much of that information as I can because I want to learn all this stuff about all these people that I have around me and in my life. And because I think that's going to make me a much broader person. And I think, I don't know, that's a stupid tangent, but that's what I think about it.
No, everybody looks at it differently. I don't know what...
I think...
when you're on the prowl, Travis.
No, I think... Okay, so I'm older now. I'm done with the romantics of... If I meet a girl that's 30, she's setting her ways, I'm setting my ways. If I find something that I just absolutely hate about her, she's not changing. She's going to be like, if she never does her laundry and that bugs me and clothes are everywhere and that's going to bug me, like, that's just how it's going to be. So
I
can
think
I put up with it? Or,
yeah.
Like, and I'm not dumb enough
so?
To be like...
Yeah. I'm with... No, I'm with you. No, because you can't change, like...
You're not
going to change a lot about me. Now,
exactly.
I'm willing to compromise with you. Like, if I know that you hate, like,
if you, love a person enough, you'll do certain things.
I'm willing to make adjustments. But in general, like, I am the person that I am. I have been doing, especially somebody who's, you know, I feel like at 30, 35, you're finding people that are super independent.
Right.
Because they've been single forever.
Yeah.
Or because they've been married and then divorced. And then that now they're, you know... A lot of people are at this stage in the game, very, very independent, and they live by themselves, and they live with the, you know, they're doing their own thing.
And
so to mesh those,
and they're kind of like, go fuck yourself. I'm not changing. Like that's kind of the attitude.
Yeah, no.
Like, yeah, or
I'm me and I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm doing
great. Like to do what I like to do. Like yeah. I don't, you know, I'd love to share it with you, or I'm all about compromise. But in general, no, I am the person that I am, and I'm not changing.
Well, and when you have that conversation, when the dating starts happening, you're like, well, I really don't like this about you. People take that really personal.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay. I don't have to like everything about you.
100%.
I'm not going. Nobody ever is.
I feel like I look for more like I'll know. For instance, the guy that I, you know, had feelings for this one time they just came. You know, our like second, third date, I was just like, I've been traveling. I went back and forth from the East Coast twice. I was like, I just want to take a nap. Can we just take a nap? And he was like, yep, be the house 2:00. I'm like, this is our, like, third date. We're not even talking sexual, nothing. It was just like...
Just going to take a nap.
Just going to take a nap.
That's dangerous.
And it's like, there's somebody that you feel comfortable with, that you know, everything is kind of... that's something
good
that
you
can build upon.
It's nothing more annoying than a girl that's like, oh, it would have been really nice to take a nap. Well, it would have been nice if you would have told me.
Well, but that's where being older is because I'm too fucking tired. Like,
to play the games?
Well, no, but just I'm too tired to be like, I don't want to go on a date. Like, I don't want to go fucking play mini golf. Like, and please, for the love of God, dudes. Like, David Buster's Top Golf. Like, stop doing it. Stop fucking doing it.
Never done it.
Like, but that's what I mean. Like, everybody's just out here doing what they...
coasters.
Yeah.
The yard. Let's go play cornhole at the yard.
Cornhole. Woohoo! And not that I have a problem. Like, I love doing all that stuff, but, like, some days, like, my life is my life. So I don't want to, like, go back and forth to Atlanta in 24 hours and then go to Topgolf with you and have to fake it.
I want to take
a nap today. Like, I'm 30 years old. I'm going to take a nap. You want to take a nap? No? Yeah. Okay, great. Then you're not my nap guy. We're not, like, you don't nap during the day.
He wasn't a nap guy.
Yeah, he wasn't a nap guy. He's like, you know, I seriously date.
There's a guy out there that's not a nap guy, but would have went and laid down with you for 2 hours and, like, read a book or something.
Yeah, that's great. 100%.
Playing Tetris.
Whatever.
But he's still there with you.
Whatever. That's fine by me. I did date a guy who was like, I don't sleep. I sleep, you know, maybe like 4 hours a night, whatever. And I would get up at 2 a.m. and I would just, like, leave. Because I was like, I'm not going to, I mean, I stare at my ceiling. I don't need to stare at yours. Like, you know what I mean? And he got, like, he just stopped talking to me. And, you know, 7 months later, like, I ran into him and he's like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I thought you were so great and I really liked hanging out with you. He's like, but what the fuck is that sleep schedule? And, like, I'm going,
going back to her husband, like, what the fuck are you doing?
For seven months, I thought I was like, you know, what do I do wrong? Like, what did I do wrong? I don't know. Maybe I'm just obnoxious. I don't know. And it was, you don't sleep. And here's somebody that's 35 years old, sleeps 8 hours. Like, they go to bed at 11, they wake up at 7. This is what they do. 8 hours is important. Don't fuck with it. So, like, here's somebody like me.
I don't think I've gotten 8 hours of sleep since I was in the
room. Me neither, and I'm never going to.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's two people that...
There's at least one day a week where I will conk out. I do this thing where I don't sleep, and then I just die one day a week where I'm just, like, out for 9 hours.
Yeah, it's like crackhead syndrome.
Yeah.
I think...
But people do what they like to do, and they want to be with somebody. Sometimes it just doesn't... Your day-to-day doesn't add up.
I wasn't saying that I'm going to change myself for anybody. I'm saying that I'm a little more elastic in the way that I look at compatibility. Because I'm the same way, like... I told Goosh, like, if we're over here, it could be the middle of the week, and like 3 a.m. If I can't sleep, I'm gonna get up and go play guitar. Like, that's just what I do. Because I
hope you like sleeping with headphones, babe.
Well, no, I'm not like I'm not gonna go over and like turn it up to 11, but you know.
But he might. But one day you might.
But one day you might. One day I might.
She better be okay. Right?
No, but like, I don't know. I do agree though that we. I've for a long time thought that it's so hard to date at this age bracket because we go through some shit where it's very unlikely that we're single and have not had something be the catalyst of still being single or whatever.
And if you're not, if you've never been in a serious relationship,
then
at
you're
this
psycho.
Point, like, you're on your own, yeah, bro. Yeah, enjoy life. Yeah. I hope your mom makes sick meatballs because you are alone for life.
I was with one girl from 18 to 28, and we were married for almost 8 of those years. I got married young.
You're a military 20. Guy. Yeah.
Dude,
that's every 18-year-old in the military is like,
the last 2 years? Okay, the last 6 months has been pretty okay, but the year and a half past that, being not having... She did a shit ton of things for me that I didn't realize. Yeah. Holy shit. And I'm like...
I hope my ex-husband feels the same way, because that's... I literally did everything but wipe that guy's ass.
Yeah.
See, I didn't feel that way, though. I felt like... Maybe it was just because...
No, just coming home after a rough day and having somebody to talk to. Now I'm coming home to not even dogs or anything.
Having a dog for sure helps.
I'm just like...
I'm not even like being facetious. Having a dog fucking changed my life after that. But no, I think it gets harder because I think we... You know, we go through this shit, we develop our routine, we've been, and I hate this when anybody says, oh, I'm an independent person, like, that fucking annoys the shit out of me. But we are that, right? And it's hard to, I think it's harder.
No human.
I think there's like two cruxes.
Nope, I'll tell you, if I downloaded Uber Eats,
folks,
and got a vibrator,
podcast,
you would never see me again. There would literally be, there would be no reason for me to ever exit my home again. I can survive
you
just fine.
That could satisfy you more than being with a man?
Uber Eats, and yeah.
Really?
No, I'm not saying more, but like, if
enough,
I keep going
enough
on dates with Mormons with 6 kids, I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly where I'm going to end up.
When Amazon starts delivering fresh food, she's never coming out of the house.
There's nothing.
Yeah. No. No.
No. I think there's not.
Sometimes the aggravation, it's just it's not worth
it. When it all works out right, the chemistry, whatever happens, the endorphins that get released when you're actually with somebody that you truly enjoy, especially when it's new. Let's not lie. When it's new and it's great. Man, that's
fun. Well, that's why I think there. Really that's why I think
Travis
there's two.
Just wants to love that's why I think someone. There's
two. No, but that's fun. No, is that not fun?
He does. He's a softie. You just see that face? Yeah. He wants to love someone.
You're like, nah, that's come
nope,
on.
Nope, he's red.
Stuff. No, you're right.
That's the good stuff.
But I think there's two
we
cruxes.
Can all bullshit it, but that's,
there's two cruxes of it.
No, it's true. I wanted to nap. I wanted to lay next to someone. I do, and everybody enjoys that feeling, 100%.
We can fake it and be tough as fuck for 6 months at a time, but eventually we just want to curl up and have somebody like hold on to us.
That's
you know?
How you need to get a dog.
Dogs are key.
You can let him be the big spoon.
That's why you got a big dog. No, now we know why Scott got a big dog.
Sometimes is the big spoon. I don't know. I think there's two. I think in the beginning is you got to find somebody that you're like, oh, I actually want to take. My Tuesday night that I was going to go home and, like, sit around and play guitar or do laundry or watch Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You got like, that person has to entice you out to, like, make... But once you get past that, you're like, okay, I like spending this... The next crux is, do I want to kind of cross that more than just spending time? And I don't remember having that when we were younger. It was kind of just like... This is fucking awesome. Let's go. And then,
I think that's the problem, though. But like, I mean, all three of us sounds like we got, you know, with somebody young, like in our early 20s. And it's like,
I wasn't
what
perfect
the fuck?
Either.
But
was
what
wild,
the fuck did
you know?
We know? Like, I didn't know anything. I literally married the first guy that I got along with really well.
But you couldn't tell me any different that I didn't know.
No. Oh, my God. 100. My mom, I think everybody in my life is
you're
like, yeah, we could have saw that. We saw that coming. We paid for the wedding, but we saw that coming. But you wouldn't have been able to tell me.
Yeah.
But, like, his family and I didn't get along. Like, you know, there's just so many things where it's like, why was I trying? Just because we got along doesn't mean that we were supposed to be together.
No, that's huge too. Yeah, just because you're hot, I think you're hot, you think I'm hot, and we get along and the sex is great doesn't mean we should get married.
Super. Yeah. Fantastic. There's a lot of people I feel like you could do the right. I mean, can you coexist? Who do you want to like come home and just sit in silence with? Because if you had asked me that question at 24, I would have been like, not that dude.
Yeah.
But
I like going out and being
loud
with
that guy. But we had so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's crazy. Yeah, I think we're just getting older and wiser to what.
Yeah, when you, I would
what
highly
it is that
suggest
is actually attractive.
Nobody long-term. Get married. Like your sample size needs to be a lot more than, you know, four people.
I don't think you should get married any younger than 30. Now that I know.
Yeah, no, I believe
30
that
should be like the.
I'm 20.
Yeah, but how can you know though? Like, how can you?
But then, God, it's so cute when you see somebody that's married to their high school sweetheart since they were young and they're still together.
You know what?
It was cute. Listen, it was fucking awesome until it wasn't.
Until it was so good until it wasn't.
But I you know
but when
what?
So when you got divorced and you started dating, we were like, holy shit, there's a whole world of people out here
I
that
no
I don't know.
I had no fucking clue. No, I was like terrified. Like, terrified. And then but the difference was I had also just kind of thrust myself into the DC scene. Yeah. And so after I got over that initial being terrified, I was like, this is kind of fucking awesome. Because DC is like full of.
But you're meeting people that you never.
But then I realized that they were all fucking sociopaths.
Let's get kind of dark here. First date you went on post split up, did you almost feel like you were cheating? Did you feel gross, like you weren't supposed to be doing that?
I don't even remember.
Let's revert back to the fact that my husband slept with the girl from CrossFit. So no, I felt great.
Really?
I felt totally fine. Yeah. Hmm. I actually can't remember, though, who it...
who the guy was?
The poor...
No, so I was...
The poor soul.
The poor soul.
So I was still...
Come here, rebound.
I was still in Boston. You know what it was? No, I was still in Boston, and I think I recycled, like, my first guy that I ever dated.
Oh, okay. You went back to something
I just
familiar.
Did a recite. Yeah, he was like, oh, you're divorced now? Like, I've loved you for 10
Swing.
Years. Yeah, I was like, great. Well, I could use a meal, so let's go. And, you know, like, that's, and you kind of, you fall back. And that's honestly why I moved. I was
and
like.
How, wait, but how long until he proposed?
Ooh. Well, you know, I went home for Thanksgiving. Fun fact, he's still, oh, when can I see you? I'm like, I'm only here for 2 days. Sorry.
How many people have proposed to you? Is this an inside joke?
No, I just made that.
I've only had one.
But he probably does have a ring.
There's girls out there that have a problem where, like, guys will date them, like, a week or two. I've heard this, and, like, they just get proposed to.
No, I don't have that problem. People are like, not. I always joke. I'm like, I've never gotten a dick pic. Like, I've never, like, people do not approach me with wild things.
No, wait.
They're like, we know better.
Do you still have that one picture, though, of the guy that's, like, up on the doorway?
Are you sure it's me?
Yeah.
I feel like she said that.
No, we were talking about that night that we were in
Old Town. Are you disappointed that you've never gotten a dick pic?
No.
No, okay.
No, but I think it's because I give off the vibe that it's like, if you send me a dick pic, like, I would hunt you down.
No, this one you showed me wasn't a dick pic. It was a guy of, like, he had his, like, I can't even describe how this guy was. Like, I don't. He had his, like, feet up on the doorway. Remember, he was, like, looking down. You don't remember this at the bar, at the tiki bar. We were at that tiki bar. You had ordered, like, we made a bet on drinks, and you had ordered me, like, the most incredibly gay
drink. Disgusting. Yeah.
It was, like, oh, that's what I drink every time.
He was, like, sipping a straw.
It was, like, literally a straw that, like, came out of the penis.
Yeah.
Of this mug.
I thought it was appropriate. I don't remember. Was it from a dating app?
Yes.
Was it from?
It was like Hinge or Tinder or something.
Grindr?
It looked like it should have been on Grindr, yeah, for
sure. He probably had a Grindr app too.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so many. It's just so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So from a guy who has friends that have those dating apps, Scott's probably the only one that doesn't do this, but, well, especially here lately, you've had someone. I can't even talk to my guy friends. They're constantly just trying to get pussy. They're just, every time I'm like, they're just on their phone, just swiping through fucking ass. And I'm just like, bro, we're eating IHOP right now.
Yeah,
it's 4 in the morning.
We're trying to.
It's 4 a.m.
Like, what are you trying to, what are you going to achieve right now?
You're
going to
get pussy right now?
Yeah.
Right now? 4 a.m.?
When dudes are in it, there's like, no, they're in it.
But that's what I mean. Everyone has it. It's accessibility. Everybody has access to it, so they're like, "What's out there? Let's go through the Cheesecake Factory menu. Like, what do we got here?" I just don't have that because I would rather sit by myself than honestly deal with somebody that I don't like
or
don't have anything.
I'm like terrified of dating people.
I wouldn't say I'm terrified. I feel like at this point I've just been going through it, and it's like, you know, people are cool, like things are fine. Sometimes they have 6 kids, but for the most part, like it's just pretty. Everybody's just very, like, super fit. And then they get mad at me because I'm not committed enough. I'm like, committed enough to what? What are we doing?
Yeah.
You're talking to three girls, you know, I'm on this doing like nobody's prepared to say, hey, you're my number one. Like, what do you want to do about this? That's the conversation that never gets had. So you never get anywhere.
Well,
with
maybe that's why. I mean, that's not like why Megan and I ended up together, but we had the conversation. She's like the first one that I dated.
Like, hey, we've
actually had that conversation.
Yeah. I'm fine with you going on dates with other people like the first couple of days. But after like the third or fourth date, it's like, okay, like, you're my number one. Are you my number one?
Yeah.
And you're like, eh, no, you're my number three. It's like, okay, well then have a nice day. Next. You know, at that point, but nobody's having that conversation. Everybody's just, you know.
Well, and dating's kind of, okay, so I met somebody and I really like, I still am into them. And
Do tell.
So weird. So now it's not like formal. It's kind of just like, I feel like we're older, so, oh yeah, we're just kind of fuck buddies in the beginning, and then it kind of evolves into more intimate hanging out. And so very early on, I was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I'm not on any dating apps or anything, and I'm not going to not take this serious. Like, I'm not going to talk to other people. I'm not going to take you for granted. I'm going to see where this goes type of thing. And women these days are fucking ruthless. I think they're kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Well, cool story, bro.
I'm like, I got 4 hoes in different area codes.
Cool story, bro. I definitely you're my number 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a line, bro.
No, everyone's got
just enjoy being part of the line.
I have somebody right now that I really care about, and I think that you know, we have really good chemistry, good connection, but like, I mean, what are we doing? I'm not having the conversation. He's not having the conversation. We're just...
Would you have the conversation if he brought it up?
Why don't you start it? Why don't you initiate? What is it that keeps you from doing that?
Because I don't ever want to... I'm like a real big proponent
just
of like
do it.
Things.
You think the man should start that conversation?
No, because we've had plenty of conversations that he has shared with me about... he plays a professional sport. So he's been very open with me about, you know, kind of like... And I've been out with him in Scottsdale, and it's
girls
like
girls are falling all over.
It's like, okay, Natasha, put your tits away. I know they're in your chin, but like settle it down a little bit. You know, like, I know the attention that he gets, and he likes it. He likes the attention that he gets.
Yeah,
I don't think that's not a personal thing for me. I know how he feels about me, but that doesn't mean that he's prepared to get in a relationship with me, because he's still young. Yeah, we're both still 29. We, you know, we're just enjoying the
attention. It's not that young.
It's not that young. But
I don't know why everybody thinks that's like.
Yeah, what I don't like.
If I am pretty right now, it ain't lasting much longer. That's what I'm getting at. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, speak for yourself. I feel like I'm getting better with age. I'm just kidding.
I actually do feel like I've gotten a little better with age. Maybe just the beard, but as I get older, for sure.
I'm surprised
I
made it to 35, man. Honestly.
I feel like I'll have the. I'll be the 35. One to bring it up.
I can't believe how you don't look. I would say you look younger than me.
I'm gonna be.
How old are you?
30.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm gonna be so broken by the time I'm like. Every year I think like, oh, maybe I'm done, and then something happens, and I just like, I break something, or I'm gonna be fucking used up. I'm gonna be like
the fall off after 30 is legit, yeah. Though. Like I hurt my back this year. I've done like things that I've never done.
Rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, movie's over.
Is that the end of our the end of our tour?
We can wrap this up.
Yeah, we can. No, I feel like we could keep riffing, but it's a school night.
I think we have to have her back on here again. Talk about other stuff.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think she would make a good co-host, but eventually she's not going to have time to do that.
Well, I'm unemployed right now, baby. What do you got for me?
What do you got?
Well, thanks for coming.
Corporate America.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Welcome to the podcast. Hope you had fun.
Do we have a name for this podcast?
I've got a couple. I'm not going to say.
All right, we're not naming them on air.
Yeah, but I've got a couple that I think will be good.
Okay. All right.
I think it's going to be good. I've got some pretty good guests coming up. I have in the works one of the definitely Phoenixes. There's a person that won like best bartender mixologist. I don't know what this person would like to be called, but that person has agreed to come on, which I think would be really cool for everybody. spoken to a couple authors. There's a couple of really cool athletes I think would be cool that have kind of verbally committed to doing it. So I'm excited about it. I'm glad we started it.
I'd like to have Magoosh come on and talk about you, what she thinks about you. Ooh.
I don't know her, but I love her.
Oh, she's amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, she's amazing. They're good for each other.
Magoosh is good. Yeah. Magoosh. Hey, Magoosh. Magoosh helped me put the tree together.
Oh, so that's how you know it's serious. Can't be decorating trees with random sluts, you know.
They're too cute.
That's when you know it's real.
If this doesn't last, I have no hope in anything.
Oh,
I'm gonna say that.
Oh, it's like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
These two look at each other like I don't even know. These two look at each other like Bill Cosby looks like a.
She knows I'm not wearing fucking flannel. That's like that's the level.
That's oh well. That's you know that's. You can be his musical soulmate, but you know that that's flannel. So
no, she's all about this guy. It's cute. You guys are good together.
Thanks for coming, hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
We love you. We'll have you back soon. Bye-bye.